I'm so excited about what is going to take place. Stay on your feet because I'm about to move. I'm not going to be up here. This morning, you are going to have a unique and amazing opportunity to learn from an individual who is incredibly successful in an arena that most only dream about being successful in. This individual has made tens of millions of dollars on the internet, has generated so much influence using the power of digital as well as online and offline marketing. I feel so very blessed that I've had the opportunity to watch very closely the skill set, the expertise, and honestly, the brilliance that this individual brings on the internet. Self-taught, started off not knowing anything about computers, for that matter, went to a typing class in high school just like the rest of us, started reading books on programming and developing websites, started going to training seminars to learn how to write sales copy, and then bam, just exploded a business out of nowhere online. He has incredible amounts of expertise in this area. There is a wealth of knowledge that's inside of him. Not only is he a multimillionaire, financially independent, not only is he still in his 40s, but he is also an outrageous husband who has supported his wife through all kinds of terribleness. He is a faithful man to his family. He is an awesome father. And he and I have been through hell and back multiple times, but fortunately, we have never pitched a tent in the place of hell. I admire him more than I admire any other human on the planet. There is not another expert that I've had the opportunity to learn from that I've learned more from than him. There is not someone that I respect more than him. I have watched this individual work through the hardest of things internally on his own. I've watched him have to move some major things inside of his own heart, inside of his own mind. I literally watched him go from the kid who had 20 words in his vocabulary, and the being two of the 20. I literally watched the very first time that he ever did a business presentation, ever made his first phone calls. I actually was there at his first steps to success 26 and a half years ago. So ladies and gentlemen, there is nobody better that I can think of to help to equip you in today's world, in the new economy, to not just survive, but to thrive, to rise to the top, to be influential on the internet, to have staying power on the internet than Mr. Hans Johnson. Give it up for Hans Johnson.
Good morning. Woo! How you guys doing? Cool. You guys are awesome. Woo-hoo! Man, you guys make a person feel awesome. Tell you what. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're amazing. No, you rock. No. Okay. Man, I was like, One of those nights where up late, and how many of you are early morning risers in here? How many of you are not early morning? Yeah. I'm in the second category. So my brain usually wakes up around like 3, 4 in the afternoon is when I start to like hit my glide, and then I get my second win usually around like 11 p.m., 12 p.m. So every time Danny's out of town, I'm working. Oh, I should have that. Oh, I should bring that photo. I get this great like slide of this dude who, the caption is something like, wife's out of town. The guy's like passed out on the floor like this. His eyes are all bloodshot. There's a refrigerator right next to him and a computer screen. And the caption says, when you're not home, I don't eat or sleep for days. You know, the food's right there, of course. But anyway, so that's kind of my routine. It's fantastic. So you guys having an awesome time? How was your first day at Dynasty? Pretty amazing. So I remember I was thinking back to my very first, the first time Dandy did a Creating a Dynasty. I don't know if she's still in the room. Oh. I didn't know if you disappeared somewhere. Was that in 1991 or 90? Okay, 91. She remembers everything. And the hotel was?
The Embassy Suites.
The Embassy Suites in Burlingame.
Yes.
Was it Burlingame?
Walnut Creek, California.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Walnut Creek, California. I'm not going to argue with that. Okay.
Jen Ratchford was there.
Jen Ratchford was there. John Paletti was there, of course.
Ed Negrelli.
And so just a couple months prior, I had gone to my very first steps of success, and I was 18 at the time in Hawaii working as a commercial diver, and I liked diving, but I didn't, it was, I very quickly figured out that, okay, I don't think I want to do this for my whole life. Have you ever worked a job before that you liked, but it wasn't paying you real well? Or in this case, the pay I thought at the time was really great, but it was really high dangerous, really high. I think I might tell a story someday about that. So it was an exciting job, and that was great for me. But so one of the things, this was in Hawaii, by the way. I grew up in Kona, Hawaii. How many ever been to Hawaii in here? Okay. So anybody ever been to the Big Island? Awesome. All right. Big Island's the best. If you go to Hawaii, you have to go to the Big Island. Because it's awesome. Okay, so I grew up just this beach kid, and, you know, I had big dreams and ambitions. I grew up in poverty, poor. My mom was married and divorced 3 times. The first time I remember actually setting a goal, I was 12 years old. I'd already started my first business at 8, not because I necessarily wanted to, but I was selling leis on the streets, which are these plumeria flower necklaces that you get when you go to Hawaii. It's these very amazing smelling flower necklaces. And so at 8 years old, I'd, you know, after school, pick flowers and make these things and go downtown and sell them to the tourists. So I was one of those kids. Have you ever been to like Mexico or been to these like places before and these little kids run up to you and try to sell you stuff? I was one of those guys. So I learned at a really early age that if I didn't sell, I didn't eat. It was a very valuable lesson to learn. Is that my clock?
That's not right.
Yeah. You want to reset it? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I got to jam through this, and maybe I'll tell you more details later, but does this work? So anyway, I was not a very outgoing person, and still it takes me a bit to get rolling with my personality. So I find myself in this event. I can't figure out how to get this. What happened here? Extended display. Is that it? Oh, never mind. I know. Never mind. Okay. Duh. Just need to learn how to work it. Okay. Never mind. You can go back. So I'm at this event, and I remember walking in. It was the first step success event, and I'm just nervous as could be. And that event just totally changed my life. Danny was doing the event. There was 40 people in the room, and I being an introvert, totally freaked out. I ended up quitting my commercial diving job, working as a diver. I made $500 my first 4 hours from what she taught at that seminar. There were guys making. She had just gone from living out of her car to, you know, like the very next month or the second month later, $10,000 a month. And in that day and time, my world back then, my brain couldn't handle that. My brain broke. okay? $10,000 a month made my brain go snap. Right? Blue screened, okay? Like, just totally. I was like, come back. So I go to this seminar, and I'm learning. And so Dani was, I had a wealth mentor growing up who was like a father figure. He's the only guy in my life that was like a stable guy. But Dani became kind of like my second wealth or success coach in a sense. The first person outside of this person that I knew growing up and that I had that relationship with. I ended up marrying my mentor. It's kind of a cool deal. So, oh, I'm supposed to teach something right now. Okay. So anyway, the very first Dynasty happened a few months later. I end up following her to California, and she does creating a Dynasty 3-day event, and that just rocked my world. And it just started this journey. And ever since I was young, I was this kind of guy that I like to read stuff and learn things. I hated school, absolutely couldn't stand school, but I was always like, I don't know, anything that was how to do something. I just like to figure stuff out. Is there anybody in here that's like that? So you got that disease too? So I got hooked and I'm coming to these events and learning and the years go by and we get married, we have kids, we're in different businesses together as business partners, and we start this company 15 years now? 14? Okay. Something happened. Is that working? Oh my good grief. Okay. Trying to get somewhere here. Okay. So I'm gonna talk about marketing madness. And the reason why it's madness is because back to the story that I was telling that was part of another story connected to another story. Last night I was up really late working on these slides for this other thing. That I'm going to do later tonight that I'm super pumped about. And then I was like, I'm going to have time to do this morning. And these slides aren't really for you, they're for me, for my head. Going to consolidate a quick training here. And then I'm up late, I'm in this routine, I so have to find that picture because it would have been so funny. But and then I get woken up by my wonderful, amazing wife. But I miss my alarm clock, so I'm late, so I'm scrambling, so I'm here, and this is why we're here. So this is going to be awesome. So we're going to talk about marketing madness, okay? How many of you own a business in here? Okay? How many of you work for a business in here? Okay. So if you work for a business, your number one focus, and this is where you want to start taking notes, okay? Because at some point this is going to become helpful. Okay. Okay, if you work for a business, how many of you don't own a business or work for a business? Okay, that's not because you're not lazy, right? Nah, I know, there's people, yeah, I know. There's other things like being a mom and raising kids and stuff like that is like literally like doing both of those, you know? So it's insane, like nuts. My mom was a single mom, and over the years I've had to learn how to see that in a different way and realize how hard that is. I could tell you, Dani is with her gifting and talent of who she is as a woman. Over the years, she always prioritized our family above business and her giftings. And her heart was always to honor that and to keep that there. And that means that she made a lot of sacrifices in her career. You know? I mean, she's the only, and I you know, I'm her husband, so I say this stuff, but I'm also very, back to that disease of having to figure out how everything works. I'm very engaged with the market and what's goes on out there, okay? And I would say that from what I've watched over more than two decades now, for quite a long time, there's nobody out there that has the track record and the results that she has, okay? And actually getting people to in every area of their life, but the specific, I mean, how many of you have increased your income since you've been engaging with the DannyJohnson.com brand, okay? How many of you, your lives have improved, and how many of you, your family life, your spiritual strength, who you are as a person, okay, your business has grown, your life has become less stressful, you're more happy. Okay, so, I mean, you're talking about thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of testimonials. She could be filling stadiums. There's when you're in business, and there's certain things that you do along the way, there's decisions that you have an opportunity to make. And there are certain things that you can do to a model to accelerate it faster. Okay? And that could have been done and can be done. But she deliberately makes the choice to speak to groups of this size, even though this is a significant room, because of keeping that balance. Not that she couldn't if it went and doubled and tripled and went to the stadiums, but those are the kind of choices she's made. And I just admire her greatly, and she's just, you know, she changed my life years and years and years ago. A lot of what I'm going to share here with you today, for me, being an introvert, it takes a while to get that other guy to come out. And we worked a business for years and years and years that I absolutely hated. I didn't like it, but I kept working that business. I focused on what I could do, what I felt that I could do good at. And then back in about 1999, 2000, I started to get involved in the internet. And I was involved in a startup with a guy where we started this ISP, internet service provider, business, and I was learning how to build websites and do all this crazy stuff, reading books on how to code and all this ridiculousness. And it was a crazy business. I don't have time to go into all the backstory on it, but a couple years after that, there was a convergence between all the years that I was spending learning what you guys are learning here and working that in a business environment that I didn't really like. That ended up converging with the internet, okay? And for me, everything started to click, okay? The salesmanship and the copy skills and the stuff that you guys are learning throughout this whole weekend, I started to apply to copywriting, to writing sales letters, okay, to marketing through email. And we started this business, did the branding, did product development, went through the whole deal. So so we got a little bit of time, and let me see what I can, if I can do a halfway decent job at this point to go through this. So marketing madness. So every business has a, there's a few things that you need, okay? Most businesses, oh, let me go back. Yeah. Huh? So let me go back. So how many of you are how many of you own a business? Thank you. How many of you work for a business? Okay. If you work for a business, okay, this is back to that part where you want to take notes. Okay. If you work for a business, your number one priority is to become the most valuable person in that business. That's your number one job, your number one focus, your number one priority. If you own a business, your number one priority is to make that business more valuable than you.
Good word. So good.
It's a little bit of a twist. It's a little different. Okay? The business is an asset. You are an asset. You will always be your most valuable asset. But when you start a business, that's your objective, okay, is to build that asset and to make it an income-producing asset and to develop it. Okay, so let's talk about, now this, if you don't own your own business, if you know this stuff, this is going to help you become the most valuable person. Okay? Because you're going to understand the skeleton and the bones on every business. What makes it tick? So most businesses start with an idea. Okay? People, they have a name. Okay? Starting a business is giving birth to something. It's like birthing a child. It's a person. It's a living organism, a living entity. Legally, it's considered a fictitious entity, but the system sees it the very same, which is kind of strange, actually looks at it just like it does, no difference than a flesh and blood. In fact, the system can't recognize flesh and blood. That's a whole other rabbit hole that we won't go into right now. So meaning that there's a fictitious entity, okay? So that name is an important part. Okay, values, right? How does that business make decisions? How does it think? What is important to it, right? I'm not gonna hit on much time on this. Okay, vision. What's the vision? Why is it in business? Where does it want to go? Who does it want to become? Who does it want to help? Right? And then you get this thing where people say missions, vision statement, mission statement, all this kind of stuff. I like to just go straight into USP, unique selling proposition. You know, because you can read, you can pull up 100 quote mission statements and you'll fall asleep because most of them suck. They're boring as hell. Okay? So a USP is and we'll talk about it a little more, but that's something that articulates into a benefit to the public. Okay? Can you just keep it on the screen? Because I'm going to go. Or maybe you guys are super fast. You guys are way more organized than I am right now. So, okay. All right. So unique selling proposition or ultimate strategic positioning is another phrase that references. Okay? So the most... we'll get into it in a second. Okay, business plans. Okay, I've spent in the past. I worked, you know, spent time on business plans and projections and all kinds of stuff. And I can tell you that they never happen the way that they're, you know, done. But it's important to have, and it's actually really good for you. Okay, don't get crazy with it. Like, unless you're going to get financing or, you know, you have to go and make, you know, pitch people. And even then, they don't want that. You know, what they want is, you know, something really simple. Okay? So, Okay, strategy, objectives, tactics. Okay, blah, 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 blah. All right. So model. I can't even see this thing. Remember, this is for me. Okay, so... So there's kind of like three. I did a training a few years back called E-Marketing Formula and talked about four different models. But there's essentially three different types of models. Okay, what I call a publisher. It doesn't necessarily have to be called that. Don't get all twisted and bent up on the label. Okay, but a publisher or which essentially is focused on selling intangibles. Okay, e-commerce, which is then more tangible, physical items. Hopefully this makes sense. And then what I call a money site, which is when you're not selling your own product or your own service, but you're marketing somebody else's. Is anybody in here marketing, not manufacturing your own product or service and marketing something somebody else's? Okay, so these different models are going to affect the type of website that you would use. And the type of business model that you're gonna work. Okay, so a lot of people end up confusing the model with the medium of delivery. Okay, and that can get a little bit, you know, technical. But the medium of delivery, meaning that, well, I don't sell through the internet. I sell face to. You're gonna use a lot of different mediums of delivery of getting that. Okay, so there's different layers to this. But don't confuse the way that you deliver the service or the product that you give with your model, It is part of it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the thing that dictates it. So a couple of examples. Apple. What's Apple's model? You guys all familiar with Apple? All right. So they sell physical products, right? So if you go to their website, what does their website look like? You're clicking around and you're browsing for stuff, right? If you go to Amazon, now Apple's transitioning more into services, doing more service model. If you follow them and their earnings reports and such, you'll see that they're building more and more services-based revenues, okay? Things like Apple Music and, you know, all the other stuff, iCloud. Okay, how about Drudge Report? What's that model? Yeah, it's definitely publishing. I just got to step down here because I can't see the angle. So it's a news curator is what it is. So what are they curating? Information. How do they generate revenue? Advertising. Do they sell any product or services directly? No. Okay. How about McDonald's? What's McDonald's model? How many think it's hamburgers? Come on. Nobody thinks it's hamburgers. Actually, McDonald's model is royalties. Their primary revenue is royalties. They're a intellectual property holding company. The franchisee runs the business. The franchisee's business is selling hamburgers and fries. Okay? But do you want to know what the biggest thing on their balance sheet is? Real estate. They own the top prime real estate in the most desirable or, you know, areas in every city across the world. I had a friend many years ago, was one of my training partners back when I was living in California, former special forces guy, and he was an accountant for McDonald's Corporation. And this was, I wasn't doing, you know, investing back then, whatever. And he was the one that originally told me this. He goes, you know what their real business model is? He goes, you're going to crack up. Nobody knows this. And I was like, what? He goes, it's freaking real estate. They own billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of real estate. Right? So interesting to think about that. Sometimes the model's not what we think, what it looks like on the outside. But McDonald's is a brand name. I mean, it's a brand. Okay, so another thing with when you're talking about a business is scalability. How easy is it to scale? And for me, I always look at is it centralized or decentralized? If you can decentralize it, meaning a couple examples of this. Like I had this friend of mine recently, this kid that I've known, and he's now 18, 19. He comes to me and says, I want to start a t-shirt business. How should I do it? And so we started talking about this thing, and he wants to, he just wants to make t-shirts and sell them locally. We live in a town of like 25,000 people. And I told him, I was like, dude, I said, why do that? Why not start on the internet? You're going to need a website. You're not going to hand people a business card. Nobody does that anymore. Right? Like some people do for certain professions, but generally, like that's industrial age type of stuff. Now it's digital. Okay? So eventually you're going to need a website. Okay? How are you going to take orders? How are you going to do fulfillment? So you want to go face-to-face with somebody and do this, and then you're going to go do that and then do this, when you could automate the whole thing. So we ended up having this conversation. I said, you should get this thing just set up on Shopify. You can outsource the whole deal. You can outsource the shipping. You can even outsource and connect and have different designs made. And then what the conversation really was about, I said, you realize that your first idea is not going to work, right? So this is the thing. This is statistics. 9 out of 10 businesses fail. 90% fail. Yep. Okay? So if you're going to go through all the work to make a business successful, and you're going to go through that failure and finally figure out what works and finally get there, And now you're limited to a demographic location of 25,000 people? When for the same amount of effort and the same amount of work, you could be selling across the whole world. If the idea works, it's either going to bomb or it's going to work. And if it works, you might as well set things up from the beginning. In the marketing realm, we call that greasing the chute. Okay? Keep it simple and make it so that you can get it out there. Okay. What else do we have? Oh, did I hit that button? Man, I keep hitting buttons. Okay. So tools and systems. So this is another thing. So the one big mistake is using the wrong systems or tools. Using the wrong systems or tools when you don't understand your model. Okay, so here's an example. Startup versus small business versus enterprise. Okay? If I'm a startup and I'm hearing somebody talking about, so a couple of quick examples. I'll try to go through this a little quicker. So like a CRM, MailChimp versus ClickFunnels versus Infusionsoft versus Salesforce. Okay? I go through this. I hope this isn't... This is the kind of stuff people don't think about, and then they get going, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap. But if you hear, oh, Salesforce is the greatest thing out there, and you're a startup, and you go use that, you just matched a startup with something that is like more what I would call enterprise-level software. The cost, the headache, the expertise, and the time that it takes to maintain and manage that is a totally different deal. So you want to match it to where you are in your business, okay? Using Facebook to sell versus, again, ClickFunnels or WordPress. We did hunt so many WordPress sites. My God, I don't care. For me, I don't care if I ever do another website again. If you're using WordPress, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, okay? So less is more, okay? That's the general rule. Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's how you scale. Make sure you're not solving the wrong problems, okay? Use the 80-20 rule. 80% of the problems you think are important really aren't. Yep. So if you're in a meeting and you or it doesn't matter if it's sales, marketing, product development, management, doesn't matter what it is, and there's all this stuff that seems important, only 20% is actually really important, and it's probably less than that. It's probably 5 to 10%. 90% of these quote problems that you think are problems aren't really problems. Okay, so make sure you're solving the right problems. Accounting is a big thing. Okay, let me just get tied in there. Okay, so three ways to grow a business. So number one is, now no matter what your business is, what your business is, or what business you are working for, there's only three ways to grow a business. Only three, okay? Number one is you increase the number of transactions, okay, or clients. Number two, you increase the dollar value of the transactions. And then the third is you increase the frequency, okay? Most people only focus on number one. So when we're doing sales and marketing, we think, I got to get more customers. That's item number one. 99% of people in the market, that's what they think of. If I double my customers, I double my income. And that's the first example. So the first example there is I have 100 clients that are ordering a $100 product at just one time a month. That's a $10,000 a month income, right? Did I get my math right? Okay, so I think, well, if I double my clients, instead of 100, I get 200, then I can double. That's true. So now I have 200 clients at a $100, you know, charge one time a month. Now I just doubled the revenue to 20,000, okay? Most people stop right there. Okay, the second way to grow a business, and if you know this information, you can actually look at your business that you're either working for or that you're running, and you can start to identify low-hanging fruit, okay? Ways that you can increase sales, increase revenue, and this is how the big corporations do it. They master this stuff, okay? So the second one is I can say, okay, I'm not going to increase the number of clients, but I'm going to increase the value per transaction, okay? So that means I have 100 clients times $200 instead of a $100 transaction, still just once a month. There are some businesses or some products and services that you will actually sell more by raising your price. If here's my philosophy. If lowering it isn't working, go the other direction. If what I'm doing is not working and not getting me the result that I want, why am I doing it? Maybe I should go the other way. Maybe what I'm thinking is not the right thing. Okay? And perception has a lot to do with, price affects perception. Price affects perceived value. One of the first things that you want to do is test your price. One of the first things you want to test, I mean, is your price. Okay? All right, so then the next option is I can still do 100 clients. I can keep my price per transaction the same, but I can double my frequency. I can do 2 transactions a month instead of 1. That doubles my income. But look at the last sin here. If I double the amount of clients and I increase my and I get a $200 instead of $100 and I do that twice a month, I just quadrupled. No, I didn't quadruple. I 8x'd my business. From 10,000 a month to 80,000 a month. So that's called a force multiplier. That's when you start multiplying things. And you know, how many of you heard about, you know, building a front end, building the back end? Okay. So look at your business, look at your company, and you might find opportunities here to do that. And this is how you can just start, you know, causing revenue. And nothing happened here. Like, there wasn't a new product added, right? It's just looking and realizing that there's different metrics in here that can be played around with. Okay, so branding and positioning. So you want to test. So the general rule of thumb is that until you're doing $1 million in revenue, you want to focus on one product. Now, you might test different products. You might redesign, redevelop, retool, retweak. Okay, you would be testing your marketing approach, your sales copy, your offer. You'd be testing that. But if you start adding multiple products, now this is a general rule. It's not an absolute. If you start adding, all you're doing is you're diluting your energy. Okay? So when in our business, that was, we had more than one product. But when we started DJC, when our list hit 17,000 people, the revenues were 7 figures. And it was a combination of products in our case, because it just started out of the gate really quick, but it was one message, one primary market that we were marketing to. Okay? The USP, again, big idea, big benefit, or your offer. So one of the most famous examples of the unique selling proposition was Domino's Pizza. How many of you are familiar with Domino's? Okay. Do you guys remember what their USP was? Hot, fresh hot pizza in 30 minutes or it's free. Now, that was a brilliant, it took them, now, I mean, like it exploded. If you go back, what was so brilliant about that USP is it's so specific. It communicated an offer and a big idea and a big benefit, right? Those are the best kind of USPs versus a slick sounding slogan. Okay. Okay. Branding, logo, domain. So positioning and branding is a big deal. So one of the things that I always, like when we started DJC, so what you want to do with yourself, and there's different types of, you know, you may be branding a person, you may be branding a company, you may be branding a person, you may be branding a product or service, positioning. But in any case, you're always going to, you want to look at when you don't want to compete against your competition's strength. You want to identify what is it the thing that you're good at? What is it that you can do better than anybody else? Okay? You want to compete with your strengths against their weakness. In our case, going back to the company, for me, the vision that I got and what got really clear to me was this idea of, you know, when you go to see a movie, how many of you like seeing movies? Or nowadays you might be flicking through Netflix or iTunes or something like that. Okay, so do you have an actor or an actress that you really like? So when you see that person, if you see them doing a movie, when you judge a movie, what's the most important thing that you judge? The person, right? Like Denzel Washington, right? Danny loves Denzel. Okay, so he's awesome, right? Like, does he do a bad movie?
Yeah,
Morgan Freeman. Okay, so that was the vision that I had. I saw that. I said, wow, you know, the name is sells the movie. The name, once it's attached, any project that it's attached to becomes the dominant thing. And so when we started DJC, we did the branding, the positioning, the logo, everything around Danny, because he's got that, you know, star power and that charisma and that heart and the impact. When people are connect with her, things change, right? And so you want to just think through that. Sometimes there isn't that personality element, and so that you got to think through what makes this product or this service different. What really makes it different? Where's the itch that nobody else is scratching? For me, the way I've always done that is by being in the market. There's a lot of marketers that will do tons of data. They'll look at data. They'll do market research. They'll analyze. They'll do all this competitive research and stuff like that. For me, I always just focused on solving the problem that I had, and I knew because I was already there and nobody was solving it. And I think some of the most successful businesses in the world, that's how they started. That's how they did it. And so I would encourage you that, you know, you got to stay connected to your market. You know, you can't, and it doesn't matter what your job or your role is. In my business today, I answer support tickets. I do that on a regular basis because I want to stay connected. I know that other famous CEOs will do that. They'll jump on the phones and the call center and do calls. You know, but you wanna so for me, it's always easier when you look at something on the outside. It's always different on the inside than it appears on the outside. So the most effective way is to get inside. How do I get inside this? Or stay in it, or re-engage, or whatever. And to me, that just led product development. It led, that was the deal with the script book. That was the first big product that we developed. And, you know, it still just has a position in that market that nobody's ever been able to come and displace. And that's a huge need in the home business market or any type of sales profession. What do I say when they say X? Like, that's massive, right? But it was a strength that we had, and it was a weakness in the market. It was a hole. It was an itch that nobody was scratching. Okay, this applies to us as an individual person. If you work a job, it applies to the whole company. It applies to product development. I don't have enough time to really spend a whole lot of time. On the domain name do's and don'ts, if you're getting a domain name, it's really hard nowadays to get good domain names, like really, really hard. Shorter is always better. If you can find two words or three word domain names, that's amazing. Sometimes you can change spelling, you can tweak, you can do stuff like that. The most important thing is have to be phonetic. You want to always think about the phonetics of the domain name. If I'm on how many of you remember the long distance phone calls back in the 80s? I grew up in Hawaii, so when we did phone calls from Hawaii, it was like, right? So picture yourself on that kind of a phone call, and you're saying the domain name to somebody. And they have to write it down to go to your website? How many times do you want to have to repeat it? How many times do you want to have to spell it? And how much risk do you want to take that they don't spell it right and write it down right and never end up there? That's the acid test. That's the test I use for, and we did this for, you know, didn't matter if it was magnetic influence or instant customer goldmine. You can look at some of the products that are back there, but the brainstorming sessions and the effort and the work that went into finding that domain name, because the name of your product or service or your business, nowadays, you got to get a domain for it. And my strong opinion is you want a .com. Don't play around with the other stuff. Okay, there's some industries that the other ones will work okay, but you want a .com. Now one trick is to use a modifier. So a modifier is where you put a word in front, like get or go or something at the end, and you can modify and you can play it. But again, the biggest thing is the spelling and the phonetics. How many times do you want to have to repeat that name? Now, if you can't find something that's short, then the next best step is to do some kind of a phrase that is like a USP.
Yeah.
Right? So, I was working with this guy a couple months back who is an incredibly gifted body worker. He does therapy. He's a therapist, but he's really gifted. And one of the things that he's amazing at is getting the spine and the skeletal structure realigned so that it's in balance with gravity, and how that affects blood flow and thinking and energy and all kinds of stuff. And because what happens is over the years, we kind of, and for me, it's terrible because I'm doing this, but, you know, we get like this, you know, and the older we get, we're walking around like this, you know. So, like, what is that? That's gravity. You know? So he has these things that he does every day, and he has this pillow. And we were working through some stuff, and I was helping him with some stuff. And we ended up coming up with a name called the anti-gravity pillow. And so one of the things with the naming is that you're looking for something that's kind of got some sizzle to it. The best names articulate a benefit in the name. Like instant customer goldmine. The name makes you curious. Okay? Magnetic influence. One of the best products sold. And I wonder how many people have that, but that product is insane. Prospect and Close Your Way to Millions is another one. It's a very long name, but so that would be an example of a domain name or a name that articulates a benefit. Okay? Hot Marriage Secrets. There's another one. So good. Okay. All right, so I don't have I'm super low, but so dark art of marketing. So to me, marketing is about bending perception and reality. Okay, our whole world, the way we see things, think of things, interpret people, the world around us is literally a perception. It's a movie playing in our mind, in our senses, and everything like that. And there's things that you can do as a marketer, as a business person, to alter that. Okay, to bend that, okay? We call this framing, okay? But it ties into positioning. So for example, if you're an independent sales rep and you're marketing some kind of product, okay? And you're not the one manufacturing or creating the product. You definitely want to do this if you are. But one of the examples that we use here is if you start to write some articles and you start to publish some content, okay? Your perceived credibility is going to increase. Now, this has nothing to do with whether you know what the hell you're talking about or not. Okay? You can be clueless. This is good for you to know, because this is where the world we live in now. You're on Facebook. You got all these experts and all these people advertising. You know how easy it is to just come up and put some stuff together. Nowadays, it's so easy. I just pull out my iPhone, start doing a video, and boom, I got an ad on Facebook, and now I'm an expert. You know, you see my ad, and you're like, wow. You know, so on the flip side, you have to know that this is kind of the game that's being played, but you can play the game too. So if you do that, what happens is that now all of a sudden you're, and this is the reason why, you could have a site that doesn't get much traffic, but you've got 5 or 6 or 10 articles on your site that you publish about the specific topic, right? And you use that. Now all of a sudden, now I'm on your site, I'm looking at your site, I have no idea that I'm the only person looking at that. Okay? You're out there talking, you're doing your video and stuff like that, and in my mind I'm thinking, wow, there must be other people too that are seeing this. Okay? So you just bent reality a little bit, right? So you want to, what else are some of my notes on here? Okay, I got to move on. Strategy of preeminence. This is Jay Abraham, and we this is what we applied, and this is, I mean, you know, trusted advisor relationship. So the idea is you want client, you have clients, not customers. A customer is a one-time transaction. Buy, see ya, boom. A client is somebody that you're there to nurture. It's relationship-based. It's long-term, okay? If you start using that language and you communicate that way in your mind, that's going to affect your thinking and how you see everything that happens in your business. So don't call your people clients or customers, okay? Start using the term client and see how that affects your thinking, okay? And here's the key. Fall in love with your client, not your product or your service. And that ties into product development, positioning, marketing, branding. Biggest mistake people make is they fall in love with their product, fall in love with their service. They're out there pitching features and blah, 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 blah. If you fall in love with your client, then you will be in touch with what that market, what the needs are. Instead of being disconnected. And you will be able to see, wow, the market's changing. The needs are changing. And you'll be able to adapt and respond to what those needs are instead of having a competitor come in and displace you because you're so focused on what you did before and this, you know, product that, you know, a lot of businesses have had that happen to them. They completely missed it. Think about Kodak. It's a prime example of going obsolete. That was a Fortune 500 company. Fortune 500 company, right? They completely like obsolete because they did not pay attention to the market. The market was going away from physical prints and cameras and using phones for photos, digital. The market was moving digital. They completely missed it. Okay? So that's a big story and example, but you and I do this all the time in our business. We get so locked into where we've been and what we've done in our process, we don't do that. Okay, a contrarian message that resonates. When I write sales copy, a lot of people are afraid to be controversial. You want to be, what the hell? Good grief. Not very good at this thing. Okay, what's happening here? Here we go. Get it back. So a lot of people are afraid to be controversial. They're afraid to rock the boat. Okay, if you don't differentiate and you don't step out and you say something bold, you're not you. And this is the world again. This is the world we live in. We're in this clickbait, frenzied world. This is why there's so much quote fake news out there, because everybody's competing for clicks and views, and they don't. There's no such thing anymore as actual real investigative journalism and diligence and fact checking and doing all that. And you got all the people saying, "Oh, you're fake news," and they're like, "No, right." Everything's doing this because the reality is that the attention span of the public isn't there. We just want to click, 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 click. So the business model ends up driving what the market is asking for, and the market's asking for, just let me click. I'm done, I'm boom. Oh, I'm over here, boom. So the business model itself dictates there's no time to actually do the actual real diligence, to do, quote, investigative journalism, okay? I'm not talking about mistakes that are made and things like that. I'm just talking about you can see this going on out there, okay? There's a much bigger reason why that's happening. It has to do with disruption and a lot of things. But so you want to be contrarian. You want to be bold, okay? Don't be afraid to rock the boat. Don't be afraid to piss some people off, okay? But you do this from the strength of caring about your client and your customer and knowing your market. Because you're the only one speaking to the market, because you are that market. You're not talking to somebody else, you're talking to you. Okay? And an example is Trump. Love him or hate him, the guy, you know, he makes people love or hate him. But what he did, whether you agree with him or not, is he said some things that resonated with a part of the market that felt that their needs, concerns, feelings were not being spoken to and were being ignored. Okay? And love him or hate him, he is a master at that. There's a lot to learn if you take the business mindset and you step back and you look at what's going on here, okay? So in your business, don't be, now some of this is personality. There's certain personalities that are going to be more comfortable than others doing this. But if you know your market and you are your market, now you're speaking to that. You're scratching the itch that nobody is scratching. Okay? You're addressing the thing that everybody else is ignoring. A lot of people want a shotgun and they want to make everybody happy. That sort of works for big corporations. But if you're a startup, you have to be bold.
Yes.
You have to find a position, take the position, stand on it, and be a little bit controversial. Okay? So 10 essential copy elements. I'm going to go through these really quick. If you're writing, this could be a resume. In fact, the whole job domination was developed off of this. Okay, when we wrote that and we wrote did the template for the actual resume template, it was based off of sales copy direct response marketing methodology. Okay, so this doesn't matter if you're self-employed, if you're working for a corporation, if you're doing product development, if you're doing 30-second commercial spots or 3-hour infomercials. It's the same formula. It's how you tell a story. Okay, so your headline. So these are elements here. So one is the headline. Okay, so when we do, you want to get really good at writing headlines. Okay. You want to get it. It's a muscle. So think about your message. What is it that you're, and sometimes you don't have time, but you don't want to take the excuse, well, I just don't have time. You want to actually put the effort in. Like we would do meetings with somebody, okay, what are the ideas we have? You know, the first thing I always do is start writing a list of benefits. So how to so that's your formula, okay? How to blank, so that blank, okay? How to lose 10 pounds so that you feel like $1 million the next time you have a family event. Okay? That's all right. Boom. How to lose 10 pounds so that your fat ass gets out of bed a little easier in the morning. Okay? How to lose 10 pounds so that right? You just get going. And then what you got to do is don't put a constraint on yourself. I can't say fat ass. What if I offend some people? Okay, so when you brainstorm, what you're doing is you're just throwing, boom, as many headlines as I can get. Now, if I'm doing a sales presentation, if I would have known this, if I would have got this back in the day when we were doing presentations, every presentation I would have done, because we did hundreds of them, I would have changed one small thing every single time. And I would have had a list of headlines. I would have said, okay, today I'm going to open with this question. Tomorrow I'm going to open with this one. The next day I'm going to open with this one. I'm going to close with this. I would have been testing different benefit-based headlines, right, for each segment of the presentation. But what you want to do is you just want to make a huge laundry list. I'm talking like 100 headlines, okay? Do marketing meetings, people come, oh, we got 10 or 15 headlines, like nobody did any work, right? You're not actually working until you're like up to 30, 40, like per person, okay? So after that, then there'll be ones that really start to stand out. And you want to grab those ones that really stand out, that are bold, that communicate a big benefit, a bold promise, right? Okay. Next one is the benefit, right? You want to focus on benefit, not features. So the benefit is, that's why you use the formula how to, so that. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to write headlines, but that's like a really good place to start, okay? Where it's really amazing is when your product name and your USP and your headline is the same. That's what I was talking about earlier, where you get that convergence of articulating that benefit right through the product name, okay? Curiosity. You want to use curiosity. Some people, some personality types can't handle curiosity. It is the most powerful motivator there is, okay? You want to use specificity. The more specific, the more impactful it's going to be. Urgency is important, right? You want to be urgent, okay? For you to get somebody to make a decision, which is what your job is, to get to a decision, you have to excite them. You cannot excite them if you're not excited. The market, even if you're doing it in print, even if it's not on the phone or not, okay, get excited, okay? Scarcity, which is just the limit of supply. If you constrain supply, you can do that through deadlines, which I think is the next thing on there, okay? That's going to increase response. All of these increase response. By the way, headline can increase your response up to 17 times. So if you're not testing different headlines, like, crazy, right? This is why it's best to focus on a single product or offer or funnel until you're at least at $1 million in sales, because when you're running a business, you know, you might think that, I mean, a million to you might be like you're living large, but a business is just finally breathing at $1 million because you've got people and you've got some overheads that you're paying and stuff like that, and then you're finally able to pay yourself, okay? So why do I want to manage 15 different offers and funnels when I can have the potential of on one funnel or one offer, if I split test and tweak the headline, I can get up to 17 times difference in conversion? Okay. Social proof is using testimonials. There's other ways to do that. Risk reversal is simply, anytime two parties transact in a relationship, it doesn't matter if it's a business relationship or a marriage or some other type of relationship, either consciously or unconsciously, implied or not implied, one person is carrying more perceived risk than the other. And when you're in business, if somebody's giving you money, this is different than just offering a money-back guarantee. Okay, it's actually reversing the risk. Is there more risk that somebody could have besides just money? Name one. How about embarrassment? Time is a big risk, right? So what you would do is, in this exercise, you would go down, you would list, what are all the risks? What are all the risks? Have you ever done that? What are the risks that I'm asking my client to take that I'm not even acknowledging, that I'm not even seeing? To answer that question, just think of it yourself, right? There's a lot of additional risks besides just money. Money is not the only risk. It's actually not the most important. Okay, and then a bonus. So that was 10. So number 11 is to give a bonus. Okay, so you want to offer a bonus. The idea there is you want to under-promise and over-deliver. Okay, do more than what you said. And then credibility, trust, blah, 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 blah. You can get more information on this if you haven't downloaded the Wealth Builder app yet. It's available on Apple Store or on Google Play, and to my amazement, like 5-star rated, just incredible reviews, just absolutely amazing. I just thank you for that. But there's some stuff on there. E-marketing formula is available on there. You can pick that up. It goes through the business models. It has a full-blown copywriting workshop and other stuff on there. And if you're doing anything with marketing funnels, I've got if you take those steps there and get in there, then I can get you access to about 25 pre-done funnels that are inside of ClickFunnels software. You actually click the link and it just loads it. I mean, like, how much work and time it took. Now, you modify it, you tweak the copy, you do whatever, but the amount of time and work that we used to have to do to build this stuff out using WordPress and hand-coding stuff and all, I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, it's so much easier today, and the barriers to entry, you don't have to be a graphic designer, you don't have to be a programmer, you don't have to do that. And so there's tools out there that you can use, and literally with a click of a button, you can be starting at a starting point where all you're having to worry about is tweaking the message, tweaking a couple things, and it's just, you know, point and click. It's no programming. So it's really incredible. You know, I used to manage a team of 11 designers, programmers, web developers, right? Both local and remote, just to manage a couple sites. Now that can be done with one or two persons. One full-time, another person that's part-time, right? Like, that's what has happened with technology, and that's where the world is going. Like, that's a little clue to all of us where we're just like this and we're not, you know, paying attention. So anyway, thank you guys. Totally awesome. Really love you. You guys are amazing.
Come back and we're going to show you how to implement what he just finished talking about, especially the last 10 things that he gave you. We're going to put it into practice in an exercise next. We put it back there. Yeah. Yeah. That's mine. It would be great if you want to. It's up to you if you want to interject with anything that I'll be sharing. It's totally up to you. Okay. We have a timeline to stick to, and I got to put my timeline on. You're on test, okay. Test. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
This is the guy.
Lucky charm.
This is the guy.
God, is that how you get her to do that? Pretty good. How you doing? You never do that for me when I bring
whatever.
That home. Jeez, good grief.
I'm going to get mad at you.
My God.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, can you set that? Don't do that for me. Man. I was like, super
Danny has
lucky
absolutely
charms.
No self-control. She really doesn't. She has absolutely, get over here. This is a crazy story. This man, okay, first of all, how many of you ladies have cravings that are like, you know, when you hook yourself on the, well, it's not just the ladies. How many of you guys do too? Right. I'm one of those people that I get something and it's like, and then I have to OD on it and then I don't want it anymore. Right. So there's been two things in the last like 5 years that I've done that with. One is white cheddar Cheetos, organic Cheetos, right? These puffs, I can eat the whole freaking bag, right? So he picks that up. He hears me drop that from the stage. I'm actually teaching marketing. And then what does he bring me? Freaking white cheddar Cheetos. And then I mentioned chocolate Lucky Charms one time. He happened to be in the room and this is what he puts in my hand. Danny has no self-control. That's the reality. I don't. My self-control is I keep it out of the house. This sucker brings it in the house. I keep it out of the house. He brings it in the house. Out of the house. And it makes me so mad. So you are now on the list of you make me so mad. Because, frick, totally controversial. I haven't had them in so freaking long. Here it is. I'm going for it. I have to. Oh, my gosh. Where's the milk? These are so good. And what they do.
I was going to say, just open up wide and I'll pour it down your plate for you.
I'd end up spilling it in places I wouldn't be able to get it out. I know. Shut up. This is not helpful and beneficial to my goal. I have to walk on a stage in a bikini soon. This does not help build muscle. This is filled with GMOs. High fructose corn syrup. Did you work out? I'm so proud of you!
Nice.
You see who's here?
I'm
John.
I'm not used to seeing you look like that. What's up? Yeah. This guy is amazing, by the way.
I had him on stage list yesterday.
Oh, you did? Awesome.
He stood in for the rubies as gems. That's right. You have to hear this man's story. I told you, I grew up white trash. The white trash is still in here. She now has to take a shower and put some makeup on. I have a full-on high right now. Never again.
That's that kind of no.
It's best with milk. Okay.
No,
you guys have to hear what he just told me. This is so nuts.
Last year at this time, at this event... last year at this time, at this event, on this morning, the Saturday morning of the event, I was getting ready to come into this event, and a voice said to me, "You need to quit your job." And my wife and I have been speaking about this for a long time. And I did that the following Monday. I quit, gave 2 weeks' notice, and I've been working with my wife on our e-com business. And... She's a wonderful lady, just love her to death. And in 2 years, we've amassed $3 million in revenue. And growing.
That is amazing.
And thanks to DannyJohnson.com.
That is awesome.
That's incredible. Congratulations. Thanks for sharing that with me. Yes. I'll hug you on this side because this microphone's over here. All right. We are now going to train you how to take a lot of the things that Hans just finished talking about and get it implemented into what you're doing. Thank you so much. Rick. Hi, Tim. So good to see you. Okay. Yeah, right. It's Hans's cousin. It's a family affair this weekend. Okay. So, there were so many things going off in my head when Hans was talking. You have to learn how to promote, and you have to get good at it. And when he said, this was like the mic drop of the year, that he said when he started his session. And that is, if you are working, who here is working for somebody else's company? Okay. And who here has their own company? You should have had your hand up twice, because you are working for the company. A company is its own entity. It's its own breathing entity. Like he said from the beginning, that the government sees it as a human. Okay? A business is seen as a human, literally. Has its own tax ID, just like we are taxed. That business is taxed. Do you understand? It is literally like its own human. So if you're the business owner, you're only the manager of that thing. That's all you are, is the manager. You have the most responsibility as everybody, more than anybody else in the entire business, but you work for that business. Even though your name and your neck is on the hook for it, you have the most responsibility for it. But the bottom line is you work for that business. And if you treat it that way, because sometimes owners get lazy with what they're doing and or too intense with what they're doing. And on the other side, the flip side, sometimes the employees can be lazy with what they're doing, and they need to step up their ownership of what they're doing, treating it as though it is their own, as though their neck is on the line for it. Now, so when he said, if you work for a business, make yourself the number one most valuable person in that business, that should be your goal leaving this event. You become the number one most valuable person. Now, if your first four steps, and between here and Dynasty, we really teach you how to do that. So it's about implementing these things, especially when it comes to sales and solving problems. Those are the biggest areas that you can help a company be relieved and make yourself more valuable. If you're the business owner, make the business more valuable than you. So again, the business is the issue, and making that more valuable. So if the employee makes the business more valuable, the owner makes the business more valuable than themselves, we're talking explosion here, okay? And that's exactly what we're in the midst of doing right now. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that Hans was brilliant in coming up with the whole branding and positioning of our business and having us centered around his wife. That was against my will. I didn't want my name or face on any of it. Is that true?
True.
I wanted nothing to do with that.
Would have done it differently in retrospect, but that's...
It is what it is.
It worked. Totally hindsight, yeah.
Bottom line, it worked. Yeah. It absolutely worked. And we were a contrarian message. We still are a contrarian message, still to this day. So you have to be bold. We are so we're contrarian to the church, clearly. Look at her. This is contrarian.
Is that a missionary dress?
What'd you say?
Is that a mission dress?
Is this a mission dress?
Missionary dress.
Yep, sure is. My mission field is a marketplace.
There you go.
And that's where I compete head-to-head for my king. For my king. I am not a pastor's wife. Thank God. I couldn't handle that kind of pressure. That would drive me absolutely crazy. Yeah. So anyway, we are contrarian. And so use that example, because contrarian is what stands out in the market. Now, not like so extreme contrarian that you have nobody that you're resonating with. The key is that you're contrarian and it resonates. Yeah. Contrarian and it resonates. It's resonating with the people with a need that is not being answered. Okay, so what I want to show you is a video that our son Roman, just randomly, I mean, he's the funniest kid on the planet, and he has always been the one to bring hilarity to our dinner table and any function that we've ever had. I love having him around because he's absolutely hilarious, but he is also brilliant. He's got the mind the most like his father's mind. So I'm going to show you, this section is called The Art of Promotion. We're going to spend, and we're going to camp out some time here. I could spend all day long teaching you this right here. But this thing that we're about to show you, between what he just showed you and what I'm about to show you, whether or not you feel it connects to what you're doing or not, is simply just an inhibitor in your own mind. But it's because it connects to everything you do. If you are if your full-time job is a spouse, this applies. If you're a full-time parent, this applies. Employee, this applies. No matter if you're a janitor, it doesn't matter what you do. What this skill set that you're about to develop works in every arena. He took what I'm about to teach you and what you learned at First Steps, and so far what you learned yesterday, he took that and put it on the internet. So this whole branding and positioning thing, remember we were talking about edification, how I edify a gem to another gem? That's branding and positioning.
Yep.
That's exactly what that is. That is positioning. So every mother and father should be positioning a certain message to their children. I edified my husband to my children. Why? Because the world tells, the current world, the landscape and the messaging and positioning and branding of fathers and men is what? What is it? He's lazy, he's stupid, he's weak, he's emasculated. That's what the branding and positioning of men is today in our world. So that's what my children are hearing. That's what my kids are being programmed through. We didn't watch TV, but if they went to a friend's house and saw television, that's what they're being conditioned for, okay, is to believe that about men. Not to mention the other schoolmates that they may have that say, I hate my dad. So now this is programming my kids to see their father in a different way. So I made sure and I positioned, edified him to them. For that reason, I was programming my kids' heads on how they would see their father. Okay, so fathers, the same thing. Where Hans actually did that with me. If you realize that your mother could be gone every single weekend speaking all over the world. Your mother has invitations to go all over the place and she's making sacrifices because you and I and our family matters more to her than her success. So he edified me in the same way, saying, do you have any idea? If your mom was any other woman, she would be addicted to her work and sacrificing you guys and sacrificing this home. So there was a positioning for the two of us to our kids so that our kids would see the truth. In this case, this wasn't a bending reality. This was the truth that we were saying. But when you don't say it, they're going to be branded by what everybody else is saying out there. Do you understand? So I'm not kidding you. Everything we teach you applies to every single area of your life. Don't sit there and disconnect. You're just like, how does this work for me? No, assume it does. If you keep an open mind and you assume that you're being trained specifically for what you do, you will automatically make the connection on how it applies for you. Okay, so for example, Hans was talking about the product, right? So under $1 million, right? Focus on one product. It's the same exact thing that I did when I started in the weight loss business. The company that I represented had 400 products. They were a $2 billion corporation. I didn't give a rip about 399 of those products. I took one product out of 400 and I marketed that one. Marketed that one. And it was weight loss. Why? Why? I was fat.
Yep.
I was in the market. Do you understand? I could communicate to the fat chick and the fat guy. So when he said fat ass, okay, yeah, but what's another way we could say that? Okay,
fat
lose
butt.
20 pounds so that you don't feel like a fat ass anymore. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have felt like a fat ass? So you might answer that ad versus so you can get your fat ass out of bed. You're like, who do you freaking think you are? But so that you don't feel like a fat ass anymore. Like, I feel like a fat ass. I don't want to feel like a fat ass anymore. See the difference? But what he did is he's given ideas like go crazy when you're coming up with the benefits. Go crazy with it.
Yep.
You'll come up with 100 of them and you'll find the little tweak. Just like, for example, he says, get your fat ass out of bed. And right away, and I go, oh, that, but wait, so I don't feel like a fat ass? Done. I feel like a fat ass. I don't like feeling like a fat ass. It sucks being a fat ass. I'm embarrassed being a fat ass. I have no energy as a fat ass. I'm not going to get in a bikini as a fat ass. I don't want my husband to see me naked as a fat ass. Do you understand what I'm saying? So your brain starts going, 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 and there's all your sales copy. What are you laughing at, Stallings? How many times can I say fat ass? He gave me the authority. He said it. Now I'm running with it. Okay, so do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why it's important for you to sit down and make it. What he said, 30, if you've got a team of four or five people, like there's 30 of them. I mean, each one of them come up with 30. There's 100. You come up with 100 benefits. You're going to find the stuff that is sexy and sizzling and that makes sense and that just connects, again, emotionally. Emotionally, that's what we talked about yesterday. Remember that with your story? You have got to connect emotionally, all right? So pulling one product out of 400. Just because your company, those of you who are in network marketing, just because your company has 400 products, or for example, those of you that are in that amazing, absolute phenomenal business model, there's two business models in here that I think are absolutely amazing. One is essential oils. The other is the workout peoples with the DVDs, okay? Those are amazing business models. Oh, man. And the workout people, okay? Your company has the best marketing. You don't even have to freaking think. You don't even have to freaking think. Your head is in your butt if you are thinking. I'm not kidding you. Your head is in your butt if you're thinking. That you guys have like 5 different trainers, sell one. Don't sell all 5. Sell one. Focus on that one. Drive that one. What does that one answer emotionally to everybody? Just promote that one, and then what? This is what's so brilliant about those bills, that business model. You get attached to one, the back end is the other 4. Not the front end. Don't cover the front end with all 5. The back end are the other 4. It's like, okay, once you're bored with this guy screaming at you, then go to the girl that's going to make you really happy. You can do it! It's like, shut up! Quit telling me I'm awesome. You're ticking me off with your hype. Okay, so I go back to the Emerald. I love Tony, man. I met him on a TV interview, actually. He was on a TV interview with our House Speaker of the House, whatever. I thought Tony Horton was that guy from years ago that had that exercise machine. It's a big old bloated bodybuilder that
Richard
had a
Simmons?
Blonde ponytail. No, the blonde ponytail.
Oh.
I can't remember his name, but how many remember that guy?
Oh, Tony.
Yeah, Tony something.
What was Tony Little, that's right. Oh, Tony, he was awesome.
Tony something, right?
Incredible so infomercial
when I heard
marketer.
The name Tony Horton, I'm thinking the blonde guy with the ponytail, and he's like, Tony Little, and he was this huge buff guy. And he had workout equipment, so that's who I thought Tony Horton was. I thought that was the guy. So I see Tony Horton, he's just some guy. It's a political show I was interviewed on, so here's the political Speaker of the House. And so I didn't know that he was a workout person until I heard the interview. I'm like, oh, he's the Speaker of the House's personal trainer. And I couldn't stand workout anything back then, so like, whatever, get a life. No joke. That's how I believed about fitness. My mind has changed. Hasn't it, honey?
You got saved.
I did get saved. I definitely got saved of my absolute stupidity.
You were an atheist, but then you...
I was a total atheist when it came to fitness, for sure. Okay, so I really was. So anyway, and there's lots of other great business models in here, okay? You got a travel business model in here that is brilliant. It's getting people to go, to dream, to go live, to get out of their freaking living room and go travel the world. I mean, travel is like... so massively important. There's so many great business models in here. I was just highlighting the marketing of these people, the fitness one. That marketing there is just, I like to look at the marketing and go, that's freaking brilliant. These guys are brilliant. So if you look at their marketing, first of all, if you're in that business, you should be making 100 grand a month. Easy, easy, easy. Same with travel, same with the oils. There's plenty of people in all those business models making 100 grand a month. So if you're not, your head's in your butt. Seriously, you're thinking way too much. You're thinking way too much. Those business models are so simple, it's ridiculous.
Can I add something? It's funny that you say that, because the whole time you've been talking, in my mind I'm thinking, to tell you, like what you're and the way that you're going to help them now is this is $1 million skill set.
Oh yeah.
And she just said 100 grand a month. So I mean, like, easy. Like, don't underestimate how valuable this skill is. And so whatever she's going to continue telling you and the exercise and the work that you're going to do, put everything you got into it, because what you're learning right here, this skill, you may not see it. You will see an impact immediately, but a year from now, 2, 3, 5, 10, all of a sudden, in time, you're going to look back and you're going to go, holy crap.
Yes.
For reals. Okay?
So what
it's
happens,
$1 million skill set.
Easily. Billion-dollar companies use this. Okay? Billion-dollar companies use this. And this is something that got developed. I didn't learn it from somebody else. This is just what God developed. Seriously, I was promoting They can't. My team couldn't. I'm like, okay, this is how you do it. That's how all of this content was developed, is this is how you do it. This is how I do it. Here you go. This is how you do it. So try it and watch how it works, okay? So these 10 things I'm about to give you, they literally were just out of, all right, this is how I promote. This is how you can learn how to promote. I didn't read this in a book. I didn't go to a seminar for this. It's just literally what I did that worked, that I've trained tens of thousands of people to do. And those who have taken it seriously have made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Doesn't matter what the business model, every kind of business model you can imagine. I had a company take this and take their $14 million little electric failing business in Dallas, Texas, and go to $1 billion in a year and a half. Okay? In a year and a half to $1 billion. That's freaking crazy. Crazy. So don't screw with this. This is a very serious skill that you can use in your job. I don't care if you're a janitor. Become the most valuable person in your business. Make the business more valuable than you. And that has everything to do with positioning, has everything to do with how you talk about it. Remember yesterday, mascara. What's in Maybelline is what's in Chanel. What's the difference between the two?
Brand.
Why is one charging $25 for the same tube, the same amount that's in the tube? How can they charge $25? It's branding and positioning. That's all it is. It's branding and positioning. It's how you talk about the $25 tube of mascara versus how Maybelline talks about it. Maybelline talks about theirs in a way where they're targeting a certain market. Chanel is targeting a completely different market. So what Chanel has done is they've created an experience with the mascara. You have to go to an expensive department store to get their mascara. You have to be greeted by somebody who's well-dressed in black, who's perfectly made up, and she has clean hair. Versus you can buy Maybelline at Walmart with the dirty hair chick stocking the shelves. Did you hear what I said? Or the guy stocking the shelf.
Dirty hair.
There's no person that's attached to the Maybelline mascara. There's no experience that's worth paying more money for. But Chanel creates an experience for me. The smell that is in Nordstrom's or Macy's or Saks Fifth Avenue, right? The way that people are dressed, the kind of music that's being played in that joint, okay? It's actually clean versus Walmart and Long's Drugstore and CVS is a disaster. Do you understand? So that's all positioning and branding. It's the same exact stuff. So it goes to show you, you can charge $25 for a tube of mascara. It's all on how you represent it. So how are you representing your job, your business, your brand? Another question, how are you representing your family? What kind of branding and positioning do you have on your family, on your children, on yourself as a wife, on yourself as a husband? What kind of positioning do you have? Who are you? What do you offer the public? What do you bring that nobody else can bring? There's always something you can bring, especially if you're married. I can bring him something that no one else in this room can bring. No one. Uh-oh. And he can bring the same to me that no one else can bring. So you all have something. Same with you and your kids. Okay? So let's get through this. There's 10 quick steps. I'm going to give you the 10 steps first, then I'm going to show you the video. And I'm asking Hans that whatever it is that he wants to interject. Now, mind you, when we built a sales force, that sales force was a freaking lean, mean recruiting business machine. They recruited business every single day. That business is still going without us. It's been going for over 20 years without us, which is crazy. I retired in 99. Sorry, no, so that's January 99. No, sorry, 98. 98, I was pregnant with Micah. Micah is 18 and something, so it's I was pregnant with him, so it's 19 years. Okay, so that's what you want. You want your people to be professional. You want, even if it's a janitorial service, even if it's electricity, even if it's trash collectors, it doesn't matter. Everything is about branding and positioning. How you talk about it, what you make it look like, how it is the emotional connection you have, all right? So the first thing with promotion, and this is called the art of promotion. The first thing when you're promoting something, first of all, you need to, don't write this down as number one, but you need to have a promotional schedule. If you don't have a schedule, a calendar of schedule, where you are promoting something, you will forget to promote something. You will forget. And pretty soon, there's no urgency in anything that you have. Everything is dead. There's nothing new. Why is it that Apple comes out with a new iPhone every single year? Why do they come up with new computers? It's all the same crap. Why do they come up with new benefits? Come on, tell me. They got to keep the interest, and they will not have sales if they don't. That's how they are creating engagement with the public, is by creating new things, bringing new things to market, and it's a new thing to promote, okay? So there, you have to have a promotional cycle. And for us, we had a promotional cycle where we had, our promotional cycle includes First Step Success, but our promotional cycle had weeks leading into it. So there were sub promos, there's sub smaller events, if you will, that lead into the overall bigger event, right? So that's basically like a funnel. So there's other smaller things that are scheduled, that have a campaign, if you will, around them, that have a benefit around them, that have stories around them, that feed into the next one, to the next one, all leading to the big overall goal of First Step Success, for example, January 20th. Now, we're going to use First Steps because that's a product you're familiar with. How many of you believe in it? You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in it, right? How many of you are using the model? You're using the service of First Step Success and creating a dynasty to improve every area of your life, okay? So that's going to be the product that we all use rather than trying to sell a pen, okay? Because we're going to sell something. We're going to promote something, okay? You're going to use the same exact functions to promote your socks, your t-shirts, whatever it is that you sell. Bibles, if you sell Bibles, if you sell sermons. I mean, everybody sells something, okay? All right, so there has to be a promotional cycle. Without a promotional cycle, everything gets boring. There's no urgency. For example, our son-in-law is an insurance agent, and they have their promotional cycles are incentives. Right now, he's working towards earning a trip to Tahoe. Last month, he have to get a certain amount of sales to get this leather bag. What are some other ideas of what they do? Trips and money. That's what matters to Zach. Trips and money, man. Okay, so there's various different trips and money. Those are called incentives. That is something to promote. Many of you who are in the network marketing industry, which again is a brilliant business model, that's where we cut our teeth in business. That's where we learned so much that has translated into many other multi-million dollar businesses as well, okay? That's where we learned it. Why? It's sales. It's straight up sales. It's motivating people. It's marketing. That's what that industry teaches. That's what that industry develops you in. Teaches you how to motivate people. You can motivate a staff if you can motivate network marketers. You can motivate dead people, actually, if you can motivate network marketers.
Best educational value experience.
Best.
Hands down.
Best. And not the normal way, though. Not the normal way, because the normal way that people build network marketing is non-professional. The way I did it was totally professional, treating it as a professional business, driving it as a professional business with calendar, with promotional cycles, with multiple events, with leadership development. Network marketers generally don't build it that way. The week sucks. Well, I'm just going to talk to a few people here and then I'm going to get rich if I recruit one person. This is why most people fail. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That's our contrarian message, by the way. So by the way, if you're bringing people to Smarter Networker and they don't like us, good. You know what that's called? A fast fold. That person ain't going to be in their business long. That person isn't going to go the distance. That person's not going to become a professional. That's a 98% who wants to stay in 90% or believing in the lottery ticket of buying a distributorship and hoping to get rich. That's not who you're looking for. Do you hear me? That's not who you're looking for. You're looking for the serious, not the curious. You're looking for the winner, not the whiner. You're looking for the one who is going to go the distance, not the wimp. So Smarter Networking and all of our training there, hey, you want to build a six-figure income? This is the place you come. You want to make $500 a month for the next 40 years? Go somewhere else. Go to all those other new guru trainers. They're going to coddle your butt, wipe your butt, give you a Kleenex for your snot, and let you stay a weak set 98%er. That's what they're going to teach you. And they're going to sell you all kinds of crap. that isn't going to work. How many of you have been to those? They're not going to tell you the truth of what it takes. They're going to tell you that you're actually going to have, you're going to have to hear no like 10,000 times before you make it. They're going to tell you that. Why? Because it scares the wimps away. Well, I'm not looking for the wimps. I'm looking for the 2%ers trapped in the 98% mind. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for the 2%ers that are trapped in a 98% world and 98% skill. They're trapped and they're not happy with being trapped. They got to rise up. They got to step up. They got to do something. Those are the people who want to change the world. They want to change generations. Don't give me the weak sucks. Let whoever his name is have them. Fill your stadiums with all them people. Have fun. We want to change the world, and that ain't going to happen with wimps. Not going to happen. You're like, but Danny, you're hurting my feeling, my pearl. I had a pearl up here that won no wimp yesterday. Okay? My secondary is a pearl. Don't F with me. Where's this passion from? It's from changing lives. That's where it's from. That's why I'm on this stage. I ain't here for money. Duh. If I was, trust me, I'd be pocketing every red set. I would. Business make millions of dollars. I'd be eating all of it. So don't mess with me. No, pearls are not wimps. That's BS. We will fight for a cause. We will get bloody for a cause. We will sacrifice for a cause. We'll do everything it takes to change the world. That's what matters to a pearl. So don't even think, you know, you're too strong for my pearl. Shut up. No, there's a 2%er trapped inside the 98% pearl mind. Just like mine was. Just like mine was. Ugh. I gotta cool myself off. What are you laughing at?
Got me sold.
So, that guy motivates me big time every time he talks. Okay, so, sorry. It's about raising up professionals. And same with those who you work full-time for someone else. Don't be the wimp, the whiner, the weak suck, disconnected to the business, that's disloyal, who is not recognizing the opportunity that you have, dishonoring the people who are putting food on the table every single day. That is not who you're supposed to be. Again, looking for the 2%er that's trapped in the 98% mind. Whether you're an employee, a business owner, or you're a network marketer, doesn't matter to me. It's the same thing. 2% mind, 2% desire, 2% vision. 2% person that has a destiny for 2%, but they're trapped. That's who we help. Does that apply to any of you? Okay. So, number one, when it comes to promoting something, you disarm the prospect. Get them naked. Okay? You disarm them. Especially for some of you, especially you rubies, and maybe some of you sapphires, especially you rubies, because you rubies will definitely have a tendency of professionalizing your approach and be really good, and you have no problem with being bold. So therefore, people see you coming, right? People see you coming. They do. They see you coming. It's like, oh God, here they come. I'm going to guard my checkbook. Right? You guys are focused. You're determined. You're driven. You won't take no for an answer. So therefore, you more than everybody has to disarm your prospect. And be something they're not expecting. Do something they're not expecting. Okay, so if you're in a sales position, people are expecting you to sell. So therefore, you disarm the person. So they're expecting you to close a deal. I'm going to show you how to just completely get naked. Completely get them naked where, oh, okay, cool, I'm disarmed, okay? So let me give you an idea. So the product we're going to promote is First Step Success when? Where? Okay, perfect. All right. So that's our product that we're selling. All right. And that product, let's say we're going to make a phone call. This is for a one-on-one conversation. This can be in front of a group of people. This can be a Facebook Live video. This could be a Periscope video. Do they still have that? Okay. Facebook just stomped them. They did. So it could be a YouTube video. Could be on the radio. If you're a radio presenter, you're a television presenter, this is how you can do it, all right? You disarm them. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Can you say that with me? Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Okay, you kind of have to shake your head, kind of put up your hand, just, you know, because this changes your body language. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Can I shrug your shoulder? Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Let's try it. Come on. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Nice. This side did it really good. Let me see over here. Okay. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Can you just feel the energy? Right there. I'm just calling to give you a heads up. What you choose to do with this information is completely up to you. It probably does not apply to you at all. Okay? That's your intro of your script. Let's try it again. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Whether or not you use this information is completely up to you. It probably doesn't apply at all. Can you say that? It's a simple statement. It completely neutralizes the environment. It's disarming. Hey, I'm just calling to give you a heads up. You choose to use this information. It's completely up to you. It probably doesn't even apply to you. Here's the next part. But I don't want you finding out about it in some other way or place and then finding out that I knew about it ahead of time and I didn't call you. So I don't want there to be any bad blood between you and I. So if I called you and said that, are you now open-minded and want to hear what I'm going to talk about? How many of you would say yes? Okay. So I hope you wrote that down. So it's real simple. So I hope you wrote that down.
Script.
I hope you wrote that down.
Script.
So
write
here it is.
Down.
I'm
write
saying it,
it down.
Again.
Write it down.
Yes. Scripts fly out of my mouth actually throughout these events like crazy. All right. So here it is. Hey, I'm just calling to give you a heads up. What you choose to do with this is totally up to you. Probably doesn't even apply to you. But I don't want you finding out about it from some other place and knowing I knew you'd be really upset with me. I don't want any bad blood between the two of us. So it's your call, what you do with it. Bam, I'm out. Ball's in your court is basically what this conversation is. Okay? All right, so you got to have that body language. I'm just giving you a heads up. What you choose to do with this, you don't even have to say information. What you choose to do with this, totally up to you. Probably doesn't even apply. These are like short snippets. I told you I'm in an editing place in my life right now. But what I don't want is for you to find out from someone else or something else, and then you find out I knew about it ahead of time. I didn't tell you. I don't want any bad blood between you and me. So, ball's in your court. So here it is, all right? So that's a disarming statement, all right? So number one, disarm. Number two, establish the need. Okay? Establishing the need, what does that look like? You're presenting a problem. You already learned part of this yesterday with telling your story, all right? So telling your story is a similar format to promoting something. Because telling your story, you are promoting something, right? That's what you're doing. You're actually promoting something. So you establish the need. The need could sound something like this. You know, your marriage probably is just smoking hot. And you probably are completely debt-free. Probably traveling around the world, enjoying life. Totally financially independent. Everything at work is perfect. But not everybody on the planet is experiencing that kind of life right now. In fact, with all of the insecurity that's happened in our country for the last several years, people have lost their homes, businesses have closed down, for goodness sakes, churches have even closed down. People are really struggling out there, a lot of people out of work, a lot of people very uncertain about their future. So you might know somebody that might be in a situation of what I've just talked about, because I'm sure you're not. Sure, everything is perfect. So here I am establishing a need, but I'm actually not even going after the person I'm talking to. But who am I going after? The 2,000 people he knows, not him himself. So that is also disarming. Do you understand? That is also disarming because he's not feeling you're going after him. Okay? There's something else I'm doing. What in the world am I talking about? But what is it? So what was I doing? I'm drawing attention to this, the itch that isn't getting scratched. Okay? I'm talking about frustration points, pain points, that they might not even be consciously aware of are going on in their life. But there's something that is going on in everybody. How many of you, what I said, at least one of the things I said applied to you? Okay, perfect. So, but there's something else that's taking place. What am I selling? Do you know, if you're my friend that I already called about this, how many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? But all I'm doing is creating a need for it, which is causing what? Curiosity, which is by far one of the most powerful motivators. By far, this motivates majority of the population, me being the absolute easiest to motivate with curiosity. Okay? So this is building. Sorry, I forgot building. So build curiosity and then tell stories. Sorry, number four, urgency. Curiosity, by the way, naturally builds urgency. Naturally does. Come on, can't you feel it? Okay, well, let me just put it this way. The bottom line is there's this other thing that I want to share with you. And this other particular technique is so amazingly powerful that the children in this room naturally pick it up so very fast. And once you hear how simple it is and you know exactly how to do it, you'll be like, I can't believe I didn't even think of this. And it will apply to so many different areas, especially in the area of increasing your income so dramatically. But the bottom line is we only have so much time here at Creating a Dynasty. And we have to cherry pick according to what the needs are in the room. So if we actually had more time, I would be able to get this one tiny little thing to you that would actually impact everything else that you're doing. But if you show up tomorrow morning at 8:00 in the morning, then I will be able to get that information to you. How many are going to be there? What is it that I'm sharing with you? You have no freaking clue. You have absolutely no idea. I didn't tell you a thing. But what did I tell you? I talked about a need you have. I developed curiosity around it. I didn't give you any information at all about what it was. But isn't that interesting? It doesn't matter what I have scheduled tomorrow. I'm now urgent to make sure I showed up at 8:00 in the morning. Does that make sense? So curiosity comes equipped already with urgency, all right? But let me show you how to add some more, okay? So one, disarm. Two, establish a need. So I already showed you the disarming statements, right? Did I show you how to establish the need, right? Okay, did I show you how to build curiosity? Yes. Is there urgency in the curiosity? Yes. Okay, so here's one little statement that you can add in the building of the curiosity where you said, a lot of people don't have the kind of security maybe that you have, and they're not debt free. And so right now we are looking for 5 unique people that are really deadly serious about changing these particular areas of their life. But not everyone is qualified to actually work with us. So there's just a specific kind of individual that we're looking for to actually help to be able to accomplish some of these things. How do I become one of the 5? Right? That's also scarcity, which we will get down to later. Okay. And also the fact is that there's a limited supply. Not everyone will have the opportunity. Can you imagine? I mean, right here in our little town, we've got, 700,000 people, and we obviously cannot service everybody. And we're looking for just a very unique kind of person. We're not looking for just any run-of-the-mill person. We're looking for a very specific kind of individual that we're going to link arms with and actually do something powerful with. What are we doing? No idea. No idea. So all this language I'm giving you sells weight loss products, workout products, mascara, lipstick, insurance, houses, okay, consulting services. It sells everything. Shoes, socks, it sells everything. Doesn't matter what you're selling. Jewelry. All right. So next is tell stories. Number 6 is scarcity. Number 7 is cast a vision. Number 8 is give a call to action. Now, with the stories, you want to promote the benefits. Remember yesterday we talked about not selling the features, right? The features were what? Were we talking about with telling your story? What was the features? Product information. So, right? So I got war on debt, or I learned how to farm. I used gems. Those are all features. So you don't have that in your story. You have the benefits of those things in your story, which would be what? I paid off $10,000 worth of debt. Okay. What's another benefit of what's the benefit of gems? I learned how to build better relationships and reduce the stress that was in our house and at work. I actually got promoted from the communication skills that I learned. That right, that statement right there creates curiosity. What communication skills? You got promoted. You got a raise because you became more valuable because of communication skills. What communication skills did you learn? You just got to experience it. January 19th, 20th, and 21st. Does that make sense? So you don't tell them, oh, in this forum thing where I actually stop getting rejection from people. No, don't sell that. Don't talk about that. The curiosity is what causes the mind to open, and it causes them to create an eager desire to want what you have. Then you have to always point them. You have to point them to the place where they're going to get it, where they're going to learn it in the same experience. Because people can learn things, but the experience is what determines how great the learning is. I'm going to say that again. How many of you have had a teacher that was as boring as hell? Were they teaching valuable information? But it was as boring as hell. So did you learn it? No. So it's the experience that the teacher creates that determines the value of the learning and even the value of the content. It's how it is presented. It's not what is said, it's how it is said that determines whether or not someone's going to receive it, all right? So education delivered in a boring way does not necessarily cause somebody to want to learn, to actually absorb and engage with the information, and to be able to utilize the information. So again, it's important that people come to that particular event to experience it. You can sit there and talk to them and say, okay, well, there's an emerald, and this is what an emerald is, and this is a sapphire, and this is, do you know what I mean? They're not going to get the same experience as being in a room with 1,000 people learning together, laughing together, crying together, having revelation together, and watching those people, watching each one of those groups and seeing the body language of how it works, right? Totally different thing. It's like this. It's like looking at a roller coaster saying the roller coaster is red. It goes for 30 seconds. You get in a chair, it has this thing that goes over your chest and, you know, and it jars you around. There's 2 loop-de-loops. I think it will be fun. So when you went on the roller coaster, you get off the roller coaster, what do you say to your friend? You freaking got to go on it. Right? You got to go on it. You don't talk about that it's red and it doesn't talk about this and how many loop-de-loops there are. You got to go. You just got to experience it. You just got to experience it. I'm not going to rob you of the experience. I'm not going to rob you from the experience by giving you the information. And I'm glad the person that told me about it didn't rob me of the experience by telling me what it was about. Because that's the worst thing that could have happened. I would have judged it based on that information. You just have to experience it. Okay? All right. So, number 1, discern. Number 2, establish the need. Number 3, build curiosity. Number 4, create urgency. Number 5, tell stories. Number 6, create scarcity. What's scarcity? Scarcity is a limited supply. There's only so many seats. The hotels often sell out. There's cheap tickets now. Okay, that's there's a $300 discount right now on the tickets. Okay, that is all scarcity. Limited supply is always scarcity, okay? Number 7, cast a vision. I'll show you how to do that in a minute. Number 8, a call to action. You learned what a call to action was yesterday, right? Okay. Number 9 is assume the close. That, to me, is the best close. The best close is an assumptive close. Okay, and number 10, actually, number 10, I'm going to put right here. You ready? Starts with an S. What do you think it is? I'll make that a little better. White trash. I learned that language first. It took me 30 years to get rid of it. Okay. Number 10 is shut up. The space in the air causes them to step up. The silence causes them to step up. If you keep talking, if you keep going, you keep coming, you go back up to sell more benefits. You go back up to say, I'm so excited that you're going to come. It's going to be so great. It's going to be awesome. You're talking them out of it. And you're giving them time to think and come up with reasons why they won't take action. So when it comes to closing, after that call to action, and using an assumptive close. Because who doesn't want to change their life? Who doesn't want to be debt free? Who doesn't want to be able to have more freedom and become financially independent? Who doesn't want to have a smoking hot, sexy, passionate, and harmonious, fun marriage? Who doesn't want to feel confident and on top of the world? Who doesn't want to know that they are raising their kids and setting them up for success for the future, and they're making a difference and leaving a legacy that's actually worth something? Who doesn't want to be on top instead of being always on the bottom? Who doesn't want to succeed? So it's an easy assumptive close. So what does that sound like? So we build curiosity. Now we tell some stories. Listen, I got this colleague. Can you say that with me? I've got this colleague. What is a colleague? What's a colleague? Dave, what's a colleague? I'm asking you, what's a colleague? A friend or an acquaintance is a colleague. But what does a colleague sound like? It is a term that professionals use to say my friend or this dude or someone I met. That's it. That's branding and positioning, right? So when I started my weight loss business 27 years ago, coming up this December, when I started that 27 years ago, I never had a single customer, not one. Not a single customer did I ever have. But I had hundreds and thousands of clients. Why? For the same reason, branding and positioning, okay? So when you come to the stories, it's, I have this colleague, and his name is Cameron. And Cameron actually tapped into this information just 7 months ago. He doubled his income. His marriage is smoking hot. In fact, they had a desire to have another baby. Baby's on the way. Let me tell you about Chris. Actually, Cameron, you paid off how much debt? How much debt have you guys paid off? $50,000. So my colleague Cameron got a hold of this information. He paid off $50,000 worth of debt in 7 months. He doubled his income. His marriage is smoking hot. They got another baby on the way. Another colleague, Chris Stallings. Chris, give me the story. Yes, go.
Yeah, so
how much debt have you paid off?
$325,000.
My colleague Chris Stallings paid off $325,000 worth of debt. What's happened to your business?
600%.
He has grown his business 600%, actually working 20 hours a week versus what he was 60 to 80 hours a week. So he was working 60 to 80 hours a week. He cut his hours down to 20 hours a week, and he increased his income, increased his business 600%, and paid off over $350,000 worth of debt.
Amazing.
Let me tell you about another colleague of mine. Worked for 30 years for a grocery chain. Completely buried in debt. He was overweight. He was bitter, angry. He and his wife sat down with their two children and had a separation meeting. Mom and dad are moving out. They're on their way to a divorce. They get a hold of this information. Not only did they restore their marriage, they restored the fun in their life. They began to travel as a family together. He paid off with his wife over $650,000 worth of debt in 5 years and are completely debt-free for the first time ever in their lives. He is now working in a corporation that is changing lives every single day. And for the first time ever in his work life, he has a purpose and a mission with what he's doing versus managing 100 employees that are stocking shelves with toilet paper. Another one of my colleagues, Extina, who was a, well, in her words, just a dumb hairdresser, had a dream and a vision to build a brand, had no business experience at all. She got a hold of this information, and her husband started a business from absolutely nothing. No business experience, no idea how to market, no idea how to make money with it, but they established an entire brand, started manufacturing a makeup line that now is generating an income of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. So I don't know if you desire to have those kinds of results, but I'm sure you might know someone else that would like to have those kinds of things happen in their life, okay? So that's how you tell stories. I said this information. What freaking information? Tell me what it is, right? That's what's going on, all right? So then you tell those stories and you say, but there is a problem. There are people from all over the world talking about this unique chance right this minute. All over the world, people are talking about it, but there's only a limited amount of people who will be allowed the opportunity to take advantage of it. People come from all over the world to attend First Steps to Success in order to get this training and this information to get the kind of results that I just finished telling you about. There's a limited amount of seats. It's already, by the way, 50% full. That's the truth. It's already 50% full. We have a month and some change that's left. And the fact is that there's only a few from our city that are going to be able to take advantage of it. There'll be people from Latvia there, people from Australia there. There'll be people from Japan. There's someone here from Japan. People come from South America. People come from Canada. People come, again, you have to build that bigger part of where people come from so that when they are in Michigan and you're talking about San Diego, they're like, well, when is she coming to Michigan? Never. When is she coming to Kansas? Never, unless this young lady right here decides to go serious hog wild. We've never done an event in Kansas. The only way we'd ever get an event in Kansas is if there was more people coming from Kansas than there comes from Texas and California, which is our, why do we go to Texas and California every single year? Because that's where the people are coming from. So Texas, Canada, Florida, I mean, Texas, California, and Florida are the places that always show up no matter where we're at. From Florida, Texas, and California is always at the top of the list of the biggest promoters in the room. Okay, when we're in Texas or if we're in California, Florida and Texas. Do you understand? Those top three are always it. That's why we go to those places. We go where we're deserved, not needed. So if Kansas decides to kick everyone's butt, done. We'll be there. We'll be there. I'm going to love Kansas. Did you hear she just Drop the seed. You're going to love Kansas. Challenge accepted. There's another Kansas person over there. Same with Michigan. So anyway, so if you sell the global audience, these people are paying $5,000 plane tickets, $2,000 plane tickets to come here. They're taking off extra days of work because they have to adjust to the time zone to come here. So they're not sleeping in the middle of the entire event. So they take at least a week off from work to be able to come. That's how valuable. Again, everything's about positioning. Everything's about positioning. You don't sell the price, you sell the value. You don't sell the price, you sell the value. You sell the opportunity and you sell what results it gets. So that when you give the price, and again, some of you are afraid to give a high price. Listen, do you know the very first product I ever sold was a $5,000 package? $5,000 package in 1989. $5,000 package, I am 19 years old. It's a $5,000 freaking package. Do you know how much that is in today's money? Huh? If it doubles every 10 years, 20 grand. $20,000 package, I'm 19. In 1988-89. So a $800 ticket to First Step Success, it's freaking nothing. So again, it's all about positioning. Trust me, people are blowing $800, they're blowing $1,000, they're blowing $5,000 on all kinds of stupid crap. How many of you know that's true? How do you know it's true? Because... you guys rock. I know, because I did it. That's awesome. All right. So limited supply. Okay, so that was another problem. There's just a problem. There's people coming from all over the world, and people are talking. Companies are promoting this from all over the world. So every single day, people are registering, which means that's one less person from our town that can come. Okay, next. So here's the deal. Can you say that? So here's the deal. Your next step is. Register for. You fill it in. When? I love you, my pearl. And why do we need them to register now? Because it's going to change their life. Because it's going to change every area of their life. It's going to save their marriage. It's going to get them out of a pit of hell they're living in. It's going to help them become debt free. It's going to help them increase their income. It's going to help them begin on the path of creating wealth little by little for their families. It is going to groom the next generation for success. That's why. Our world is dying. Our world is suffering. People out there are shooting things inside their veins, swallowing crap they shouldn't be. They're destroying themselves and their families, and they don't even have a clue on how to get themselves out of the situation that they're in. They are buried and suffocating under the pressure of debt. They do not know how to increase their income. All they know is they hate their life, they hate their wife, they hate their job, and they can't stand their two-year-old or their teenager. Some of them are committing suicide over it. They do not see a way to fix the issue. So why do they need to register now? Because what? What? That's why. So you got your call to action. So how do you assume the close? One step before the shut up. One step before the shut up. How do you assume the close? Okay, how do you assume the close? That's close. So you just said, so your next step is an assumptive close. Okay, so the call to action is, your next step is to get registered for First Steps in San Diego, January 19th, 20th, and 21st, right now. So, let's get you registered. So, how do you want your name on your name tag? That is an assumptive close. How do you want your name spelled on your name tag? What city do you want on your name tag? Let me tell you what that does. Now they picture what? The name tag. Now they just literally had a word picture. That's word pictures. They just had pop in their head a name tag with their name, city, and state on it. So how do you want your name, and what city and state do you want on your name tag? And then what? Shut up. You get that name, whether you're going to get them registered right then and there. You can print out applications from the website. However which way that you close a deal, is it an application process? Is it registering online? Come on, who here has smartphones? Who doesn't have a smartphone? Hold on a second. Siri? You? My IT guy? He doesn't even have a phone? That's awesome, but he's making money. Whatever it takes. Okay, so there are, look at the amount. Come on. Okay, now the children are unqualified. Put your hands down. I'm glad you do not have a smartphone. Okay, you better not have a smartphone. So I've got one from Britain that doesn't have a smartphone. I've got an Aussie that doesn't have a smartphone. Canadian. Beautiful, by the way. From here, you look like you're 12. So I was going to tell you to put your hands down, but you're not. When I heard your voice, it told me you're not 12. Okay, so there's three adults in the room that do not have a smartphone. Talk about market share, man. That's amazing. Right? None of us needed a smartphone. No one needed one. But all of a sudden, we all have one. Look at this room. There's everyone but three that have it. Okay? Again, the children aren't qualified. You shouldn't have a phone. I am not for kids having phones. So proud of you parents for holding that line. And by the way, we have never paid for our kids' cell phone bills, ever. When they were old enough to buy their own cell phone, and if they wanted to pay a bill on a monthly basis, that was their freaking choice. Never bought them a phone, didn't pay for their cell phone monthly fees, and we don't. Never have. Not a single one of them. Not a single one of them. Nor did we ever buy them a car. They had to buy their own freaking car. We gave them incentives on buying a car. We will match you. You want to put in $1,000 towards a car? We'll put in $1,000 for a car. You want to put in $2,000 for a car? We'll put in $2,000 for a car. You want to put $5,000 in for a car? We'll put in $5,000 for a car. It's your call. However much money you want to go bust your butt to make to get yourself a car, we'll match it. You'll get a nicer car. Why? They got to learn how to work for their own stuff. What happens when the car you bought for them breaks down? Who are they going to come to? When they're done with their car, who are they going to come to for the next car? I ain't establishing that deal. Heck to the no. You off the ninny. You are weaned, man. You're going to feel like you have to figure out your own life. It's best for you to figure out why you're living in our house. Figure it out while you're living with us. Because it gets hard as soon as you leave. The real stuff happens, okay? So the call to action is, how do you want your name spelt on your name tag? What city and state do you want on there? Email address that you want to receive your notifications on the hotel and the instructions for the event. That's an assumptive close. Who doesn't want what it was that you just finished telling with all those stories? Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants it, okay? So here's the next thing, all right? So that's the assumptive close. And then, sorry, cast the vision. I forgot number 7. Here's the vision. So sorry. So you tell the stories. There's a problem. People from all over the world are coming, and people right now, right this minute, there are thousands of people just like me having the same exact conversation with people they know. So that creates a problem. There's a limited amount of seating. Even though there are thousands and tens of thousands that need it, there's only a certain number allowed in the room. However, we know that our city is going through struggles. There are people right in our neighborhoods that are suffering financially. And if our politicians are not going to do anything about it, if our local mayor and governors and senators, their heads are in some other place, that they actually don't know what the actual needs are of this place. Bottom line is, we're going to step up right here and we're going to make a difference in our own town. We're going to take our own economy into our own hands and we're going to make the difference. So I'm looking for a team of people who are going to rise up in leadership in this city, in Kansas City, that are going to pay off debt. They're going to grow businesses. They're going to grow in their careers. They're going to bring restoration back to their marriages. Rather than a boring marriage, they're going to have a hot marriage. They're actually going to groom the next generation for success. So I'm looking for whoever the first people are that are in this city. They're going to be the ones to establish the new standard for this place. That's casting a vision. That's what we're going to do. Okay? Nobody else is doing it. We're doing it. And so I'm looking for the very first ones. And it'll be known. It'll be known 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 1 year from now, that it's these group of people, these very first group of people that tapped in to this information and helped citizen after citizen be able to change their life. This will be the city that doesn't have businesses closing down anymore. This will be the city that now there's not enough buildings to house the amount of businesses that are going to be growing in this place. That's the vision. We're not going to see foreclosures amongst our friends and family any longer, or our coworkers. We're going to make sure that they are now filled with the same techniques, the same strategies that these people I just finished telling you about, they're filled with the same ones they got so that there aren't foreclosures. But that people are able to be financially independent, pay off all of their debt, and live the life that they should be living. That's the vision. Okay? So, your next step is to get registered now. January 19th, 20th, and 21st, San Diego. How do you want your name spelt on your name tag? Guess how long it takes to do this? About 2 minutes. About 2 minutes. If it takes me 20 minutes to do it, is there urgency? About 2 minutes. Okay? All right. So that's what it looks like. Now, I want you to turn your eyes to the screen, and I'm going to show you a hilarious example of all 10 of those things in action. Maybe not the exact same order, but all 10 of those elements are being used. Pay attention.
This is where your ice cream comes from. Oh. The creamy poop of a mystic unicorn. Totally clean, totally cool, and soft serve straight from a sphincter. Mmm, they're good at pooping. But you know who sucks at pooping? You do. That's because when you sit on a porcelain throne, this muscle puts a kink in the hose and stops the Ben and Jerry's from sliding out smoothly. Is that a problem? I don't know. Are hemorrhoids a problem? Because sitting at this angle can cause hemorrhoids, bloating, constipation, and a buttload of other crap. And seriously, unicorn hemorrhoids? The glitter gets everywhere. But what happens when you go from a sit to a squat? Voila! This muscle relaxes and that kink goes away faster than Pegasus laying sweet sherbet dookie. Now your colon's open and ready for battle. That's because our bodies were made to poop in a squat, and now there's a product that lets you squat in your own home. Introducing the Squatty Potty. No, Squatty Potty is not a joke. And yes, it will give you the best poop of your life, guaranteed. I don't just mean you bloated lords and hemorrhoidal ladies. I mean everyone. Kink? Unkink. Kink? Unkink. It's simple science, really. Can't get the last scoop out of the carton. With the Squatty Potty, you get complete elimination. Spend too much time on the chamber pot? The Squatty Potty makes you go twice as fast for your money back. I scream, you scream, and plop, plop, baby. Maybe you're sore from squeezing out solid globs of rocky road. The Squatty Potty gives you a smooth stream of froyo that glides like a virgin swan. Plus, when you're done, it tucks neatly out of sight, thanks to its innovative, patented design. Truly a footstool fit for a constipated king. So, if you're a human being who poops from your butt, click here to order your Squatty Potty today at squattypotty.com. You'll wish you tried it years ago. And if you don't trust the prince, how about your doctor? Shark Tank, HuffPost, NPR, Men's Health, Howard Stern? He poops from his butt. They're all crazy about the Squatty Potty. Not to mention the 2,000 Amazon users who gave the Squatty Potty 5 stars, including the author of this moving haiku.
Oh, Squatty Potty, you fill me with endless joy. Yet leave me empty.
So order your Squatty Potty today. I'm not saying it will make your poop as soft as this cookies and cream, but I'm not saying it won't. Squatty Potty, the stool for better stools. Pooping will never be the same. And neither will ice cream. Huh. That one for you. Very good. How does it taste? Is that delicious? Mm-hmm. Is that the best thing you've ever had in your life? Uh-huh. There you are.
Had all the elements of those steps. Those steps was in that presentation. They told you you had a problem pooping. How many of you wondered after he told you you have a problem pooping, you wondered, do I have a problem pooping and I don't know it? How many of you thought this? Like, wow, maybe I do have a problem pooping and I didn't even realize it. Right? So they actually planted the need in you and got you to think about something you didn't know that you needed. Use testimonials.
Those are amazing, by the way.
How many Squatty Potty customers are there? There you go. There you go. My hand is up. Where's the Squatty Potty users? Okay, there you go. More social proof. How many of you bought it after you saw that video here at Creating a Dynasty? About half of them. You have a portable one. They have a portable one now. Oh, wow. Yeah, they have portable ones now, apparently. Okay, so the point is that those 10 steps work. Now, isn't it incredible? You can plug anything into those 10 steps. It doesn't matter what the product is. Look at the way he prestigiously talked about pooping. Look at the humor he brought into the thing. Do you understand? I mean, it's a disgusting topic. Isn't it? It's a disgusting topic. And yet, there was laughter in it, right? Testimonials in it, urgency in it. Like, how many more rocky roads do you want to produce? Boomp. Oh my gosh. He created an eager desire in us to want that piece of plastic for $26. It is like probably 50 cents to make that thing. Probably 50 cents to make that thing. They charge $25.99. Isn't that crazy? All right, and you can't just go buy a stool at Walmart because there's no place to put it. So, right? So that they created a story about pooping. So how many of you are not selling something like that? Do you understand? Then you can do this, all right? And again, look, I mean, to them, the owner of that business could be like, we are changing the world. We are changing the world. We are changing lives because pooping is a serious issue. It really is. It really is. It's a major health issue. It's a major, major health issue. So if you have a hard time pooping, you can say, thank you, Danny, for introducing me to Squatty Potty, okay? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put you in groups, and you are going to practice this skill. You're going to have 2 minutes to do it, all right? We're going to give you 2 minutes to present this idea, all right, to somebody and to put it into practice. All of the scripting I gave you can be used for anything else that you do. It literally can. Again, when you keep your mind open, you can use these phrases and you're just going to plug your product in, but not here. You signed an ethics agreement. So let's just practice selling what we're all familiar with. How many of you are going to go home and sell First Steps anyway? You want to tell people about it anyway. So now you know how to do it. And again, take the same promotional thing and put it towards your makeup or your insurance or your consulting services or your real estate business, your IT business, whatever businesses you have. And again, you all have a business. Everybody here has a business. Where are the stay-at-home parents? What's your business? Your kids, your family, the home, and what else? Your husband's job. Your husband's job. You are a promoter of his job. You are sending customers to over there. You are edifying who he is, getting opportunity for him, helping him take care of his staff. All of that stuff is your business. That's the family business, right? So this applies to all of it. Okay? And that's, by the way, making you more valuable. Hello? That's making you as the spouse more valuable in this equation. You're more valuable to the company that he or she is working for, which is awesome. Okay? All right, so let's turn the chairs around. We're going to get into groups. We are not passing out that form right now. I have a reason. Yep, we are not passing that form out. I've been watching each time we've done this. I don't want people reading. Yep, do not pass the form out. You have an empty chair? All right, I gave you the disarming statement. I gave you the entire script. What I don't want you to do is I don't want you worried about doing it right. Do you hear me? Just speak from your heart. How many of you have met some stories here in the room? Stories. You guys have heard some. Who's been telling their story, by the way, to other people? Okay, cool. How many of you other people have been telling you your story? Okay, cool. So you have some stories. I told Butch's, Chris's, Cameron's, and Extina's story. Okay, so I told four stories in that example. All right, I actually want to give them 3 minutes, okay? 3 minute conversation, all right? I think beyond 3 minutes, there's no urgency in it, all right? So when you say, hey, I'm just giving you a heads up, it's got to be quick the way you say that, okay? Then you got to start that conversation very, very quickly. So this literally is like a 3 minute presentation, literally. That's what this is. It's a 3 minute presentation. I can do it in 2 minutes. A lot of my clients can do it in 2 minutes. I think you can do it in 2 minutes. We're going to start with a 3 minute timeline to begin with, okay? Now, how many of you present to groups? Okay, awesome. All right, there's quite a few of you. How many of you present one-on-one? Most of us always present one-on-one. Like you're presenting to your spouse, you're presenting something to the kids, okay? You're presenting something to a coworker. You've got an idea that you want to sell, which, by the way, that's how you sell an idea also. That's how you sell an idea. If you want to bring an idea into your company, you're in management or not. Let's say you're not even, you don't have to be in, by the way, listen to me. Especially, where's my millennials? Stand up. Millennials. What's a millennial? If you're asking the question, don't stand up. If you're asking the question, don't stand up. Millennials, listen to me. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Do not consider your age. Do not consider your age. Jeremiah got blasted by God because he said, what? I'm too young. No one's going to listen to me. And God just blasted him. He's like, do not consider your age. You have the freshest, the newest concepts, ideas, and innovation in you, far more than we do. Far more than we do. And we actually need you to bring it. We actually need you to present it to us. The other thing is you're the closest to the market. You're the closest to the market. Why? Because you haven't disconnected from it yet as most of my generation has. We spend the rest of our life trying to reconnect back to it because we have grown. So we've grown away from the stuff that actually matters and our heads and our minds are up here versus what Hans was talking about earlier, where some of these famous CEOs, Steve Jobs being one of them, that love to go get on the phone with the customer themselves. Used to make the board mad, used to make their, you know, executives, no, an executive is supposed to have this executive, whatever. Millennials can't stand that crap anyway. So you guys are closer to the market than some of, most definitely most of your parents are, and even than I am. So don't underestimate the innovation that's in you, the wisdom that's in you, the ideas that are in you, the concepts that are in you. Don't think that you don't have it because you actually do have it. And your companies need you to voice up. They need you. The organization needs you to step up and to voice up confidently. And this 10 steps is how you'll do it. This is how, come on, you just saw that guy on the screen present an idea about pooping. Do you understand? So whatever crazy idea you have, you'd be amazed on how you might stir some other ideas with whatever your crazy idea might be. Okay? So don't underestimate yourself. Sit down. and wait, how many millennials were in here? Can you stand up again? I want to know why you come and why you came. One says she wants to change the world. Tired of working all the time. I hope someone in our company is writing this down. Starting life in debt. Say what? I don't want to be the 98%. But before you knew about 98%, because you learned that concept here, what did you not want to be? Don't want to be like my parents. This is all things we should be writing in your copy. Huh? Stock? Oh, being stuck sucks. You want to make a ton of money? Yep, want to make a ton of money. Don't want to spend $1 million in college just to make a ton of money, to make $1 million. Fix the problems while they're small. Go ahead. And still not getting ahead. Yep. Yep. Okay, I'm going to say time out right now. For those of you who are not connecting to what is happening, pull your head out of your colon. Do you know who's standing right now? The future. Your customers are standing right now. And many of you don't know how to talk to them. So they right now are telling you what their needs are. So this, everything that's coming out of their mouths is sales copy. Everything that's coming out of their mouth is sales copy right this minute. This is where the market is. They are the future. They spend a ton of money. How can you get the money they're spending? You have to know what their needs are. So you just heard, this is what's breaking their heart. I watched my mom work 3 jobs, an intelligent woman, and still not get ahead. They're looking at the generation sitting down, saying, I don't want your life. Did you see all the nods? I don't want your freaking life. I don't want anything to do with the way you lived. No, thank you. How many of you that are standing would raise your hands on that statement? Look. Did you have to? Well, then you wouldn't raise your hand. If your parents were a 2%er, then no. So look at all these hands that are saying, I don't want to do it the way my parents did it. I don't want to work like that. I don't want to sacrifice my children. How many of you that are standing felt like you were sacrificed in some way? So it's a lot of you. Yep, that's amazing. That's why grooming the next generation for success fits them. That's what that message is all about. Time secrets fits you. War on debt fits you. Job domination, right? How to climb. This is awesome. Okay, cool. It's the 98 and 2% message. All right, cool. All right, sit down. Thank you. Good job. All right, so you're going to practice this. I gave you the disarming statement. I gave you all the copy on how to promote it. I even gave you 4 stories that you can tell. I gave you your scarcity script. I gave you your casting a vision script, your call to action, and your assumptive close. What was assumptive close? How many of you got the assumptive close? How do you want your name spelt on your name tag? You just pull out your phone. How do you want your name spelt on your name tag? And you look right at them. Okay, if you are someone that deals with paper, if you deal with paper, then it's hand in the application. Do you need a pen? And then, don't say shut up so fast. Shut the up. Okay, and smile. Look him right in the eyes and just smile. Because what are you looking for? You're looking for the serious that is actually going to fit the vision. If they're going to whine, do they fit the vision? No, they're not deadly serious. They're not deadly. You guys don't want everybody. Do you hear me? Okay, look, I'm gonna ask my pearl the question. Do you want every single customer that has a child that is autistic? Say it again.
No, they won't stay the course.
Exactly. Heck no. So she has a certain kind of client that she's looking for. Why? Because it's a lot of work on the parents' part. So she's looking for a certain kind of committed parent that believes that their child can have a changed life. There are many parents of autistic kids that do not believe that there's any hope for their child. So they are hopeless and they're selling hope to their child. They're just going to try to figure out how to survive for the rest of their life with an autistic child that will not be functioning in the world. But there are a few small percentage of parents, and some of them that are here in the room. I want to see where your parents are. Yep. How many of you guys have autistic children? Stand up. You people are freaking awesome. You people are absolutely amazing to me. And I am so inspired. So inspired by your tenacity, your commitment, your love. What's been put in you to be able to do it. I'm going to tell you that my brother inspires me so much. His fathering skills with his daughter completely blows my mind. Humbles me all the time. And I have to tell you, my niece, Kaylee, who's met Kaylee? You've met Kaylee. I'm telling you, she has spoken words over me that melt me. And it's literally God's voice speaking through her mouth straight to my spirit. Auntie, you're going to do a great job tomorrow. Auntie, you did so good today. I'm so proud of you, Auntie. You are awesome, Auntie. Auntie, you're beautiful. Auntie, I love your smile. And literally, she said, anybody else can say it. Thanks. Kaylee says it. It hits me. I was talking to Mary Starr the other day. I was telling her about that. And she says, it's because it's pure. There's no motives. There's absolutely no motives. It is nothing but pure. It's coming out of her heart. And there's no other reason why she's saying it. So I want to tell you, you guys have a level of patience that is unbelievable. You actually set the standard for the rest of us on having patience, having to be strategic and committed to your children. You literally are the top, in my opinion. My brother, his parenting skills dwarf mine. And he's doing all grooming the next generation for success. He has done that naturally with his kid. Why? He loves her. And he speaks vision over her every day. Every day he speaks vision. You are a gift from God, Kaylee. God uses you in people's lives. And here we have all the parents sitting down. How often do you cast vision into your kid? He casts vision every day. I've traveled with my brother. He's been at my house for a week with this little girl, and he every day, several times a day. You're a gift, Kaylee. You have a gift. God uses you. Like, you spread love. You spread light wherever you go. You make a difference in people's lives. Could you imagine if every parent told their kids this? The kind of programming going into them. And what you talked about yesterday, he's done with his daughter. She wasn't supposed to be able to function and all of these different things. And she functions, man. She functions. In fact, after her first steps, Kaylee never had eye contact. He went home and he worked specifically on eye contact. That's one of the autistic things, that there's no eye contact. He went home, he worked on her with eye contact. And we talk about that in Grooming the Next Gen. So he doesn't go, okay, well, my kid is autistic, so that's not going to work for her. BS. He doesn't limit her with what the medical community has said. He says, this is my daughter that God has given me. There's no limits on her. So literally, the next first steps they came to was last month in Atlanta. And I realized she's looking me in the eyes. Took me about 2 days. I'm like, Jonathan, she's got eye contact. He goes, yeah, we've been working on that since first steps. I'm like, it's freaking unbelievable. He said, we're working every day on it. Eye contact. And she just looked me dead in the eyes the whole week that we were together. So anyway, you parents, hats off. I admire you. I respect you. You guys are amazingly committed to your kids. You are amazingly committed to the future. Thank you for inspiring me. And Jonathan, you especially, man, you really, really, really inspire me so much. You're such a phenomenal father. Such a phenomenal father. You guys can sit down because we now have 5 minutes left. All right. So just talk to the person. So ones and twos, raise your hands. It's a one-on-one conversation with one's going to talk to four. Two's going to talk to three. A three-minute bell is going to ring. You don't have a person? Okay, we have an empty seat in front of John Mayhill. Yeah, can you guys, I need a seat over here. I need a person, actually. Jane, you don't have a person. You don't have a person in front. Yeah, come on over. There's right there. If you're missing a person, okay, stand up. If your group is missing a person, then just get together, congregate. Okay, look, there's two people. If you have an open, invite them over. Recruit. Bring them over. Don't look at me. Look at the people standing. You guys need somebody in front of you? Okay. Look, they need someone in front of them too. Oh, wait, they've got somebody now. You need somebody here. One of you come over here. One of you come over here. Oh, man, that TRX thing I did yesterday, I'm feeling it right now. Gristle. You got a front row seat, dude. Hey, that was a cool hat you were wearing. What's your name?
Will.
Will, it's a great name. I'm Danny. Nice to meet you. Will, where are you from? Wow. Beautiful. That's so cool. How did you hear about us from Alaska? Your employer. Wow. Who? Louie and Wendy. Wow. That's awesome. Welcome. On your mark, set, go. All right. Who got a registration? Nice. Put your hands up. Wave at me. Say hello, success. That's awesome. Good job. Good job. Okay. How many of you got through like 7 or 8 of them? You're talking too much. The 3 minutes is actually too long. I can hear it in your voices. There's not enough urgency, okay? So now the opposite. So 3 and 4 is going to have the chance. 4, talk to 1. 3, talk to 2. 3 minutes, go. All right, who got a registration? Good job. Okay, now 1, promote to 2. 3, promote to 4. Go. Okay. So now the other. So 2 promotes to 1 and 4 promotes to whatever. So now, here's what I want you to do. Take it up a notch. What gem are you talking to? So then, don't forget, anchor, what gem are you talking to? So if you're talking to a ruby, you're mostly going to talk about what? Money, getting promoted, being fast, being number one, right? If you're talking to a sapphire, what are you going to be saying a lot? So much fun, such a blast, so many people you're going to meet. If you're talking to a pearl, what are you going to talk about? The lives change, the meaningful relationships, the cause, right? The story of the orphans being fed, okay? You're talking to an emerald, what are you talking about? More efficient, step-by-step strategies and proven methods, okay? Do you understand? So those are the things those are the words you're going to use. So use that when you're talking to this gem. Go. Okay. All right, let's turn the chairs back around and face me. Volunteers, go ahead and pass out your form. There is a script for what we just went through. It is a very unedited script. I want you to use the script loosely, okay? The reason why I did not pass out the script beforehand is because you would have been reading it to the person. So I want the more you got familiar with this language without the script would be better when it comes to promoting. So volunteers, pass out the scripts now. That's something that you guys can just take home and have it as a reference for you. And there's things I'd be editing out of that, by the way. So basically, someone transcribed it. Someone in our office transcribed me talking about it from the stage. So there's plenty that I would simplify in that script that you're getting, but it's a good guideline. It's a really good guideline for promoting. And you'll see all 10 of these things is in it. I think right now is a really appropriate time to highlight some people who have been outrageously promoting the events in 2017. So if you, this year, by the way, how many of you have sent people to our website? Wow. That is amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. Together, we're changing lives. This, if you didn't do that, no one's lives are being changed, right? If we didn't do what we do, no one's life would be changed. If you didn't do what you're doing, no one's life would be changed. So it really is a team effort. This is a community effort of us going after affecting and impacting and changing 100 million lives. If you brought somebody to First Steps to Success in 2017, stand to your feet. That is awesome. You helped the events be successful this year. You did. How many of you brought more than 5 people throughout the entire year? Throughout the entire year. Give these people a hand. That is awesome. You all helped to create the experience, right? If no one's here, there's no experience. You know what else you're doing is you're creating the community. You're creating the community that you're benefiting from. And how many of you feel that one of the biggest things that we offer here at First Steps in Creating a Dynasty, as well as online with the Facebook page and all that, is the community? How many of you find a big benefit in the community of people that you meet, right? So it's not even Danny. It's not even Danny. I'm the common denominator that why we all came together, but it's what you do with each other when you leave. And the community is a massive. How many of you have met lifelong friendships here? That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. If you brought 10 or more throughout the entire year, you've sent 10 or more to First Steps Success, stay standing. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Uh, 20 or more, stay standing, the rest sit down. 20 for the entire year. Wow. That is incredible. 30 or more, stay standing, the rest sit down. You got 3, 4 standing still. Gosh. So these people brought 30 or more throughout the entire year. Hello. They've used a form of that script. They've used these techniques, obviously, to get people to come. 50 or more, stay standing. Get up here. Come here. Come here. People have you brought to First Steps to Success this year?
I'll be very honest, I don't know exact figure, but it's...
I'm pretty sure you can come up with the figure really quickly.
Around 100-something people.
That's not true. Try again.
Well, the last event was 600
people. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then New Zealand. Come on, add all of them up in 2017.
900.
900 people. You have 2 more events after this.
Then we're over 1,000.
So, say again.
We have 3 more events this year.
He has 2 more events this year, and you already have people registered for those 2 events. Mm-hmm.
So it's over 1,000.
It's over 1,000 people that this one man, over 1,000 people that this one man has brought. Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing. You kicked everyone's ass.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Out of the 600 people that are in Latvia, 12, just 12, were non-referrals. So it's 588 referrals. Filled a room in a foreign country, a 300 euro price point, which is half of the average monthly income of Latvia. So what is that price point for First Steps in our dollars?
That would be like 800.
No, because our average income is not $1,600 a month in this country.
Then it's more.
It'd be like $2,000. It'd be about $2,000. So that's the ticket he's selling. It's a $2,000 ticket. And brought 1,000 people in 2017 here. So you and Gunita are coming to Israel with us. On me. Okay? We're going to have 10 days together, living together, eating together in the Holy Land. You being so very blessed, Gunita being so very blessed. There'll be a time of refreshing. It'll be so memorable and outrageous because you truly are a king in the marketplace. You need to go back to the place where the kings were born. Go back to the place where the kings were born, where everything was established in birth.
Thank you.
So we'll have the very first day in a tent together with Abraham, a king in the marketplace, ruling and reigning with his God, because you really have taken that mantle since you read Spirit-Driven Success and that wrecked your life.
It did. It did. Because my heart finally saw that there is a purpose also for me and
as
my gifts.
As a businessman.
As a businessman. And that's really resonated with me because I tried to fit the wrong peg, like the wrong thing, and for many years. I couldn't deny the calling that's on my life. And with that book, thank you for writing it, and thank you for making it possible that it's translated in many languages. And so also Latvian and Russian and Lithuanian, like, yeah, and it's going around the world. And more people are finally hearing that, yes, there is purpose for them in God's kingdom, and that's deep down in soul. We want to be
yes.
used for something
yes.
great. So yeah,
yes.
thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. So very blessed to have this kind of example. His love for his country is how the whole thing started. His love for his country, seeing his people given a chance to succeed, and they have succeeded, which is crazy. How many businesses have birthed from first steps to success? Can you even count? You can't.
I'm counting, yeah.
You've had over 1,000 Latvians go through First Step Success.
Yes, we have.
Well over 1,000 Latvians have gone through First Steps.
Well over 1,000, yes.
Your population is 2 million in mm-hmm. Latvia. Well over 1,000 Latvians. Thousands of Latvians have read Spirit-Driven Success, Grooming the Next Gen, First Steps to Wealth. As such a love for his countrymen to see them to succeed. And that's what he caught on to, was the vision of helping to bring these kind of tools to his own nation, who's a baby nation in their freedom right now, but don't know how to be entrepreneurs, and they're grabbing it. The lives that this man has changed is unbelievable. Single moms making now $50,000 a year, $50,000 in an average income of $600 a month. A woman that was making $50,000 that now is making $750,000 a year, and she shrunk her hours back to 5 hours a week. From a workaholic, met her husband at First Steps to Success, got married, just had a baby 7 months ago.
Yes, yeah. Awesome.
Okay. So many stories. 30 government leaders were at the last First Steps in Latvia. The mayor, vice mayor, deputies, councilmen, all of that stuff. Had a private meeting with those people afterwards. Okay, and then I go to do the National Day of Prayer, and who's in the room is 240 people that normally is just like, you know.
Well, it was sold out. But the reason was that they couldn't fit more people in there because the premise was small. And so it was the, you know, all the big wigs of the church and everything. And
some government people.
And our lovely coach gave the keynote speech, and it was one of the greatest speeches in that 10 years that we've had those prayer breakfasts. And so people were having great result and encouragement.
Former prime minister that was in that thing. This is a promoter with a purpose, with a vision, and just won't stop. Just won't stop, just won't stop, just won't stop. He's relentless for changing lives. So I can't wait to have you and your beautiful wife in Israel with us.
Honor. That was an
dream list. So excited. And I'll have you right by me and my brother Aviad the entire time. And we will just have so much fun.
Thank you.
touring the nation with you and a few people from here. Awesome. So it'll be amazing.
Thank you.
Yes,
it's
you're welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to lunch. I want you to go to lunch with three people you do not know. You're going to practice that script, not the one I passed out to you, but the one that you were doing. I want you to practice it three times, okay? Practice it three times. You have a timer on your phone. Set the timer to 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You're going to be back here at 2:45. Back here at 2. We're starting, actually, at 2:45, so you might want to be here at 2:40, okay? Be here at 2:40. We're starting at 2:45, and oh, my gosh, what you're going to learn this afternoon is going to blow your mind. I can't wait.